Friday Night Football. It's time for high school football action on WGRC. Tonight's game is being brought to you by the generous donations of the following Thunder Riders.
Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steininger's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley-Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders & Sons, Grace Chapel of Overlook, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor & Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radiator, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn.
Now, let's head to the field for this week's game.
And tonight, it's week six of the high school football season here on WGRC. Homecoming night at Shamokin, as the Shamokin Indians will be entertaining the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. I'm Don Castelline. Joining me in the booth, Zach Guggenheim, and Chris Miller will be on the sidelines with John Callahan producing tonight. A lot of games to keep you up to date with here as we hit the second half of the high school football season. Should be a lot of fun. It's our first visit out here to Coal Country tonight. And again, we'll have Shamokin playing host to Jersey Shore tonight. The Bulldogs of Jersey Shore come in at 3-2 on the season, while Shamokin is at 2-3. And our first look at both of these teams tonight, Zach, I know we're looking forward to seeing what we could anticipate as being a pretty explosive air attack from both these teams tonight.
Yeah, I think the wide receivers on both teams, they're athletic, they're tall, they're big. I think especially Jersey Shore, they're kind of in the model of kind of Chip Kelly and that spread attack where it's up-tempo all the time. They're not going to huddle. And then on the other side, Shamokin, they have two wide receivers that they think are athletic and that can really do damage, Joe Masser and Matt Schicatano. Both of them scored against Lewisburg last week. I think they're going to be really fun to watch tonight.
Jersey Shore, I mentioned, coming in tonight 3-2 on the season. They're fresh off a big win against Shikellamy, 39-8 last week. As for Shamokin, disappointment. Really were in control, at least as far as statistically and on the scoreboard, heading into the fourth quarter, leading like 20-7. But then it ended up coming up short as Lewisburg, with the big comeback a week ago, and a 28-26 loss for Shamokin. And actually, Zach, one of the you kind of wonder if you have carryover from losses like that. And there's actually a literal carryover that kind of happens here, because there's a couple of guys that will be missing action tonight because they actually got onto the field at a time they weren't supposed to, as things were kind of unraveling towards that end of that Lewisburg game. So Shamokin will be without a couple of players here tonight. Dennis Cole, who's a safety for them, also does some kicking responsibilities for them. They'll also be without Nelson up on the line as well. So making some adjustments for Shamokin.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how just their energy level. It's homecoming for them, and so there's just a lot of factors where they have holes now in their lineup. Not having your kicker, that's going to be tough. The emotions of homecoming, is that going to play a factor? A lot of neat storylines coming into this game for Shamokin, and how are they going to handle, I think, a really good Jersey Shore team who's coming with momentum. I mean, they beat Shikellamy 39-8 last week, so that you know they can score. You know that they're a talented team. So how is Shamokin going to be able to match that?
So other games that we'll be tracking tonight as well, in addition to this contest that we have for you, there will also be at Loyal Sock playing at Sealands Grove. Similar there in terms of records. Loyal Sock at 3-2 on the year. Sealands Grove 2-3. Danville will play at Central Columbia. There's a pair of teams with winning records. South Williamsport travels to Southern Columbia. We'll see if the first points actually go on the board against the Tigers tonight. We'll see how that plays out. Mifflinburg, our winner last week on our game of the week, they will be playing at Mount Carmel. So a lot of great matchups, and we will be sharing the scores for you all through the course of tonight. Those are just a few of the games that we'll be highlighting. There's others as well. And we'll maybe even have a college score or two to pass along. Penn State Nittany Lions, I guess they will be in action tonight, taking on the Maryland Terrapins. So a battle in the Big Ten tonight. A little different for Penn State playing on a Friday night.
Yeah, that'll be fun to keep watch on. I'm going to get into my wheelhouse here a little bit. I love college ball. It's going to be interesting to see how Penn State responds to, I think, an improved Maryland team under Mike Locksley. That's going to be a fun game to kind of keep our eye on a little bit.
All right, so we'll keep you up to date with that one as well as we bring you our matchup tonight. It is going to be Jersey Shore at Shamokin, homecoming night for the Shamokin Indians. Let's go ahead and take a break here. When we come back, we'll be hearing from the head football coaches as we get you set for tonight's matchup. It's Jersey Shore at Shamokin, week 6 of the high school football season on WGRC.
Pondus Farms is helping to sponsor this high school football game of the week, located at 270 White Church Road near Elysburg, featuring a farm market with seasonal produce, canned foods, frozen foods, and baked goods, along with an on-site restaurant, banquet facility, outdoor event space, and catering service, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 8 to 7. Pondus Farms of Elysburg, on the web at pondusfarms.com.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35, just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns, featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove, and featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
And we trust we have a good one for you here tonight. It's Jersey Shore at Shamokin, and really a gorgeous night for some high school football here this week 6 final weekend of September. Of course, the first official one here in fall, and Chris Miller is going to be on the sidelines. And Chris, of course, the atmosphere, big crowd as always you'd expect here at Shamokin. So the crowd filing in, and well, this is one of the early turf fields as well that really was a forerunner of a lot of the turf fields we see through the region nowadays. Of course, that's the playing surface we're going to be having tonight.
Yeah, so this field was put down somewhere around 2000-2001. Yeah. Definitely showing its age, still holding up well, but it's going to be a fast surface tonight. I think both teams, Shamokin obviously might have a little bit of the edge there, used to playing on that. Jersey Shore still all grass field, I believe. But yeah, the crowd's filling in, a lot of purple and white. Should be an interesting matchup tonight, and we'll see. It'll be a battle of wills. We'll see who has it more tonight.
All right. Well, you mentioned the purple and white of Shamokin. Of course, we'll be hearing in a few moments from Coach Henry Hynoski. But first, let's start off with the team that sports the orange and black. And we're talking about the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. Coach Tom Gravish in his 8th season. And, of course, Jersey Shore last year, a District 4 Quad A champ. And they're looking to try and win that championship again this year. They're 3-2 on the season. Opening the season, a couple of wins against Bellefonte and Sealands Grove. Two setbacks on the road. Tough teams, Montoursville, Mount Carmel, before the bounce-back win a week ago against Shikellamy. So I did talk to Coach Tom Gravish a little bit about the state of the team as they come into tonight's matchup.
We have a fairly young team, and in our offensive line, we lost 4 starters. And this year we're coming in and playing, 7 offensive linemen and 6 defensive linemen that are first-year players, and they're playing pretty well. They have a lot of room to grow and get better as players, but so far so good with that. Probably could have been a lot worse with the amount of people we had to replace in the front, but we're pleased with our quarterback play. Our wideouts have done really good. We have a really good senior class with our leadership. Our conditioning is probably one of our number one assets that we have going for us. And, on the defensive end of it, we're improving. We had to replace a lot of people, but we had some people returning at each level. And so far, so good with we're off to at least a winning season to this point. We'd like to have at least another win or so under our belt. We don't, but you know, we're only wanting to be 1-0 at the end of this week.
That's right. And this week, of course, it's Shamokin at their place. Talk a little bit about the Indians and what you're most preparing for.
Shamokin, you know, they're a really good football team. They have most of their people back from last year. They have, you know, talented wide receivers, a couple talented tight ends, two very, very talented running backs, a lineman that, you know, played for them last year. Some of the same starters that they have, you know, on defense this year are some of the same ones they had playing last year as well. And, you know, I think this new quarterback, I think his name might be Grimes. Nathan Grimes does a nice job. He's very athletic and very versatile and, you know, could get outside the pocket. We want to make sure that that doesn't occur.
All right, so your defense going to try and limit him. Of course, their offense going to look to try and both run and throw. Your team has been very successful running and throwing the football when you have it on offense, something I'm sure you're going to try and keep that balanced approach going here this week.
Right, we want to be balanced as much as we can. You know, if our running game is dominating any type of football game, we're going to stick with it, you know, 95%. But we feel that, you know, we might have to be balanced. We do have some other weapons, I think, that can, you know, strike big against, you know, a defense out there, and we're gonna take our shots with them. As far as Shamokin, though, they have great running game, great running backs that run hard. We're going to have to stop the running game, no doubt about that, and they have good linemen. So that's a concern. We have to shut the run down. And, you know, but at the same time, we know that they got a couple wideouts and a couple tight ends that, you know, are 6'2". And, you know, one guy in particular, you know, their player number 84, I think his name's Masser, Joe Masser, you know, he has a really good jumping ability and has come down with some great catches.
Road trips can be a lot of fun. Of course, they're always best when they come away with wins, and there's some unique places to go to. I know a couple weeks ago you guys were at the Silver Bowl there to take on Mount Carmel. Anything particular about going to Shamokin and that particular venue that you really like?
Yeah, we like coming to Shamokin. I like the tradition. We know that there's a great football tradition in Shamokin and Cole Township, and you know, it's always a well-fought game, hard-fought game. Well attended with the crowd, a lot of spirit, and that's the kind of places we like playing in. You know, we did like going, and we were looking forward to going to the Silver Bowl. We just didn't get the outcome that we wanted. But, you know, we like those challenging places, and we have great respect for Shamokin, their coaching staff, their players, their tradition, and they got a great facility, a great surface, and, you know, not a better place to play on a Friday night other than at Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania.
Well, we'll look forward to having all the action. It'll be Jersey Shore at Shamokin. This has been head football coach for the Bulldogs, Tom Gravish. Coach, thanks a bunch. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
So the Jersey Shore Bulldogs making the trip here again, 3-2 on the season as they face Shamokin. And the excitement of homecoming tonight at Shamokin. And Zach, of course, they're having a little bit of that festivity time as the homecoming court is out on the field here pregame. They're doing some of the homecoming festivities a little early instead of doing it at halftime.
Yeah, it's an exciting crowd out here, and they're announcing the homecoming court. I think they just announced the homecoming princess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a fun atmosphere to be in.
So homecoming tonight at Shamokin. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will hear from head football coach of the Shamokin Indians, Henry Hynoski, as we continue to get you set for week 6 of the high school football season. It's Jersey Shore at Shamokin right here, WGRC.
This is Brad from Basin Coffee Roasting in Danville, and I am thrilled to support the WGRC radio ministry.
Basin Coffee serves the entire region by wholesaling roasted coffee to restaurants, coffee shops, and churches, offering community fundraisers and private label coffee for gifts, weddings, or resale. At 570-764-2740, online at HebrewsTheBest.com from Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at freelandsharley.com.
underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
And we've had the singing of the national anthem here at Shamokin. Homecoming night for the Indians as they take on the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. Thanks for joining us tonight right here on WGRC. Moments ago, we heard from the head football coach for Jersey Shore, Tom Gravish. And now let's go ahead and chat with the Shamokin Indians head football coach, Henry Hynoski. His team at 2-3 on the season. Back-to-back setbacks the last 2 weeks, one to Southern Columbia, and then last week that heartbreaker on the road at Lewisburg. So we start there as far as the mindset of the team following that loss to Lewisburg last week.
Mindset of the team is positive. Honestly, if you look at the course of the game, we really played well. We played hard the entire game. We played tough, and we were resilient. Aside from, you know, a few big plays that they had on offense, you know, we really controlled the game. Just didn't show on the scoreboard. You know, take away those big plays, and you know, our time of possession was, you know, strong and favorable to us. You know, there's a couple little things we got to clean up with a couple small breakdowns. So, you know, the guys, you know, felt good about their performance, but the results just didn't show on the scoreboard, and we felt the same way as coaches. So we're looking forward to a challenge this week and being able to regroup.
Now, with a loss like that, I know it got a little bit emotional at the end with some of what unfolded, and you have a couple of guys that are not going to be starting tonight because of last week. What's it like now making those adjustments? How much are you having to kind of change things up?
Yeah, we have to make a couple little changes, you know, with the offensive line and in the secondary. But, you know, it's next man up. You know, we've dealt with it a lot this year. We've had, you know, significant injuries that really impacted our team from the beginning of the season. So we've had to adjust with that also. So it's just the next man up mentality. You know, we do a good job of preparing everybody on the team, you know, not just our starters, our second string players too. So, you know, we feel confident that those guys will be able to go in there and compete at a high level.
Obviously, Jersey Shore is going to try and come in and compete at a high level as well. As the Bulldogs come to your place, what impresses you most about them?
They're just a tough team. You know, you look at them stature-wise, they don't have huge guys. They don't have, you know, the 300-pounders and, you know, the guys that run the 4.44s. They're just tough, gritty kids and a tough, gritty football team. And, you know, they have athletes and, you know, they just play super hard. You know, so we got to match their intensity and, you know, and rise to the occasion. They're just a solid football team in all aspects. And like I said, you could just tell that they're tough kids and they play with a lot of grit.
Now, I mentioned about this kind of starting the second half of the season as we're to week six. You guys coming in with a 2-3 record. There's still all those big goals that you guys might have for the season still within reach. As you look back over that first half, what are you looking to see the most growth-wise from your team in the second half of the season?
Just more consistency, you know, just being able to line up and, you know, and pound the football, you know, make big plays with our receivers. We've done it at times. I want to be able to do it all the time and more consistently, you know, and limiting penalties, limiting mental errors. You know, it's the midpoint in the season now, and, you know, there's no room for mental mistakes and things of that sort. So those, I just want to see, you know, good, clean, crisp, you know, well-functioned football.
Always a fun atmosphere at Shamokin for games, so it'd be nice to have this one at home, I'm sure.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. We have a wonderful fan base. Couldn't ask for a better crowd to play in front of each and every week. And, you know, we know that we have their support, and, you know, they bleed purple and white. So, you know, we're blessed to have such tremendous fans and, you know, just a community that loves football.
Coach Henry Hynoski, Shamokin Indians. Thanks, Coach. We're looking forward to the game.
Thank you.
So there you have it, Henry Hynoski, his second season as head football coach for Shamokin. And last year was one of those building block seasons. There were some tough years there for a while for Shamokin, a team that's had in the past some, you know, great football tradition. And, you know, got down, got a little bit difficult for a while there at Shamokin. But now, I guess you could say infusing some new excitement.
Yeah, Henry Hynoski is, I mean, he grew up in this area. He went to Southern Columbia and played there. And you know, there's something about playing on a team where your coach can say, hey, I have a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Show off his Super Bowl ring. That gets your attention and it shows you that he knows what he's doing. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around him. He's already commanding respect. But I also think, you know, we got to talk with him down on the field. He's got a good demeanor about him. He doesn't get too high. Doesn't seem like he gets too low. Just he's going to teach his guys and really help them as they grow as a team.
So Shamokin, and again, led by Coach Henry Hynoski, going to be entertaining Jersey Shore here tonight. And Chris Miller is on the sidelines tonight for us, and we'll have that perspective for us. And also we'll be hearing from the coaches, and we're about ready to see the teams enter onto the field. And you've heard those coach interviews as well, Chris. And I know a big game for both of these teams, Shamokin at 2-3, Jersey Shore 3-2. You know, you target a game like this, big moment to try and get that win to springboard the second half of your season.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, just a little pregame down here because of the homecoming festivities. You know, Jersey Shore came out. They were kind of sitting by their bus. I've been kind of watching them. They're very quiet, very focused. They're ready to go. They're locked in, getting ready to take the field here. Shamokin, yeah, I mean, they're sitting at 2-3. This is really going to set the pace for them going forward. I think both teams need the win. Shamokin would definitely like to have it more, but I don't think you can ask for a better game right now. Both teams, they're ready to roll.
Yeah, and in fact, Jersey Shore next week, they'll have Southern Columbia. So grabbing a week six win here tonight would be huge before that matchup. And as for Shamokin, they're going to have Selins Grove here next week, and then a couple of big road games at Danville and at Shikellamy. So we'll actually have our game of the week next week back here at Shamokin for our first encounter with the Selins Grove Seals. It should be a lot of fun as we get into the second half of the high school football season. Let's take another break here. We've got more of our pregame coming up as we get you set for kickoff tonight. It's Jersey Shore at Shamokin, the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Grace Chapel is pleased to be supporting WGRC. We're connecting people to Christ and one another in love is our mission. If you don't have a church home, we'd encourage you to come join us. As you get to know us, it's our prayer that you'll gain a sense of what it's like to be part of the family of God. We're located at 126 Airport Road in the village of Overlook, Shamokin. Learn more and check out our online resources on Facebook and at gracechpl.com.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500. And at agents.allstate.com.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
We're so glad to have you joining us tonight. Week six of the high school football season. I'm Don Castelline, joined by Zach Guggenheim and Chris Miller here at Shamokin. It's homecoming night for the Indians as they entertain the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. John Callahan will be producing tonight. And, of course, a busy night of action on the scoreboard, including Penn State Nittany Lions. They'll be taking on the Maryland Terrapins in Maryland tonight. Is that a very rare type moment? NCAA starting to get some of those Friday night games. And I know Penn State, I had heard that if they were going to play them, they wanted to do it on the road, not to take away from the high school football that takes place Friday nights in Pennsylvania. So I guess you might want to factor that in and credit that to Penn State for their desire to not want to detract with having a full Beaver Stadium when they know there's a lot of high school football fields that people want to be at on Friday night.
Well, you don't want to disrupt from Penn State's traditions either. You know, going, you know, having Nittanyville and all their fun stuff up in Steakhouse. That environment up there is incredible. I haven't been to Maryland and to their stadium, but Penn State, I mean, it's one of a kind.
I grew up not far from the Maryland Terrapins. I grew up outside of Baltimore, so followed the Terrapins for a long time as a kid. There's a little more excitement this season maybe for Maryland than there's been in the past, but we'll see how that game plays out. But we'll also be sharing all the high school scores for you. Loyal Socket, Sealands Grove tonight. Hughesville travels to Warrior Run as the defenders try to bounce back tonight. Also games like Shikellamie at Central Mountain. Two teams there that are 0-5. Someone's going to grab their first win of the season. So a lot of games to tell you about tonight. Well, we've got the captains on the field and the coin toss, and we're about ready for our kickoff here, the first half. Let's go ahead and take a 30-second break, station identification, and then we'll have that opening kickoff tonight. It's Jersey Shore at Shamokin on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Call Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
And we're set for the opening kickoff tonight. Jersey Shore will be kicking off to the Shamokin Indians. So we'll see Shamokin on offense first here tonight as a beautiful night for some high school football action here on WGRC. And that kickoff, end over end, is going to sail to the 5-yard line, fielded cleanly there to the 10, 15, 20, 25-yard line, and dropped at the 28. And that is where Shamokin will have it, first down and 10. Up front for the Indians as left side of the line, Jonathan Wushuda, the senior at 6'3", 295, one of the anchors up front. Also Tate Frederick, the left guard. Hunter Rodemel, he is the center. On the right side of the line, it's Corey Malkra and Brian Hornberger, the other senior, another anchor, who's been playing with an injury this season but wants to be there on the field for his senior season. Blake Kane also playing through injury. He's the tight end. Nate Grimes, quarterback, he's under center. Two in the backfield, two split out near side. And our first down, it's going to be a handoff up the middle for Shamokin to the 30, 31, 32-yard line. In that backfield for Shamokin is Max Madden, also Wolfgang Pearson, wide receivers Joe Mosser and Matt Shikitano. So a gain of a few there as Madden with the carry.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see if they attack through the middle and then coming to the sides, trying to get this defense loosened up a bit.
Jersey Shore on defense, running a 5-2 up front for them. Gage Wilson, Lee Springman, Colin Samar, Carter Peacock, Ryan Kirshner. That's the five up front. Linebackers are Dugan and Seacrest. The corners, Schaefer and Guthrie, and the safeties, Malicki and Anderson. Second down and 7 coming up for Shamokin. One player in motion is Madden and says it's going to be a pass across the middle and caught by the tight end. Blake Kane goes up for it, hangs onto the football as he hits the turf. He's about a half yard shy of the first down, dropped just shy of the 39-yard line. It's going to be third down and less than a yard.
It's a great job by Kane shielding his body from the defender, took the hit, made the catch as he went to the ground. Great, great grab by Kane.
So third down and just maybe a length of the football coming up for Shamokin, looking to try and get their first down. Jersey Shore recovering at the 44-yard line. So the first miscue there as it was a handoff for Shamokin. And the turnover is going to give the ball to the Jersey Shore Bulldogs at the 45-yard line.
be interesting to see now what Jersey Shore does with this turnover. Are they going to attack early downfield? Or are they just going to keep their tempo going?
The senior Tanner Lorson leading Jersey Shore as a quarterback here. He's going to be under center here. He's completed 52% of his passes on the season. Also runs for decent yardage. It's going to be a pitch. Left side, trying to turn that corner and dropped at the 40-yard line. It's a gain of 5. And the carry there for Josh Malicki, the senior. Up front for Jersey Shore, left side of the line, Carter Peacock and Hunter Francis, a pair of sophomores for Jersey Shore. Seth Ingraham is the center. Woodring and Samar are on the right side of the line. Ryan Kirshner is the tight end. Here comes a no huddle, and they'll run a lot of that tonight. Hand off to the right, Malicki. Not much there for Jersey Shore. Mentioned Lorson is the quarterback, and your wide receivers, Westland and Schaefer, although they run those receivers in there quite quickly. No huddle here. Third down and 5 coming up for Jersey Shore from the Shamokin 40-yard line. Fakes the handoff. Back to throw. Fires, and off target is Lorson trying to get a completion on that far sideline, and it falls incomplete. So Shamokin forcing a fourth down and 5 here from the 40-yard line. Looks like the punting unit's going to come out for Jersey Shore. So the defense holding for Shamokin, running a 4-4. Miller, Frederick, Washuta, and Rodermeller up front for the Indians. The linebackers, Grimes, Paul, Frash, Madden, and then the defensive backs, Shikitano, Mosser, and Pearson, doing the job here on that first stop. Punt is angled towards the far sideline, goes out of bounds, right about the 11-yard line, make it the 12, and that is where Shamokin will have it first down and 10.
Just going back to that second and third down, those first and second down plays, on the left side of the line, they got a lot of space with their sophomore line blocking, Carter Peacock, Hunter Francis, but they ran the same play to the right, they got nothing. I wonder if that's going to be something that we're going to have to look at is how are they going to run better on the left than to the right?
Time will tell. 9:25 to play here in this first quarter, just underway. No score, and Shamokin with a fumble, but able to stop Jersey Shore. Here come the Indians, first and 10 from their 12, and wrapped up in the backfield and dropped for a loss, and it's going to be Max Madden pulled down. Going to place that right about the 8-yard line. That is going to be a loss of 4. So second down and 14 coming up for the Indians.
It was Madden who got in there, but really it was a lot of penetration from that entire defensive line. That was instant penetration by the defensive line. It blew up the play immediately.
Madden and Pearson are going to be getting a bulk of the running load here tonight. Madden's a sophomore. Bryson James, he's dressed and suited up here for tonight, but dealing with an injury, so coach had him listed as questionable as to whether he'd actually see some action tonight. He's got experience, a hard runner here for Shamokin. Back to throw is Grimes, airing it out near sideline, going deep and caught. Shikitano right in front of the Shamokin bench, over the shoulder catch, nicely done.
What a great ball. He just put it right up there, and Shikitano did a great job. He just kind of let his body wait so that he could catch it over his shoulder right by the sideline. What a great gain of about 30 yards. A
couple of athletic receivers here for Shamokin. Matt Shikitano is one of them. Had a touchdown grab a week ago against Lewisburg. Big play now has Shamokin out to their 43-yard line, first down and 10. Grimes under center. Pro set. One of those backs, Frash, now in motion. So just one in the backfield. That's Madden. Madden gets the pitch, and he's going to have nothing as Jersey Shore just pounces in the backfield. That's going to be a loss of about 5 or 6. They're going to put this down right about the 37-yard line. That play was blown up from the get-go.
You also have a flag down here on the field, which is going to hurt Shamokin more, I believe.
Right about the line of scrimmage, they dropped the flag on the 42, a spot you might expect to see a holding call. We'll wait for the official call coming up, but you're correct, Chris. Does look like they're going to be marching this back against Shamokin. So after the big pass play for Shamokin, the energy, Jersey Shore able to kind of swing it back and deflate it a bit with a big defensive stop, and the penalty now putting Shamokin back to the 29-yard line, and it's going to be a repeat of first down, but it's going to be first down and a bunch. They need to get to the 47 of Jersey Shore, so it's going to be a first down
you don't want to jump the gun too early, but, you know, going back to pregame, this is something that Henry had said, you know, eliminating the mental mistakes. And obviously chop block is just a mental mistake after you get a big game.
So here comes first down and about 22 here for the Indians. Two split out far side. Handoff Madden and maybe to the 30. We'll see if he gets that yard or not. Almost a little too tight on that handoff, almost like the quarterback Grimes almost in the running lane that Madden was looking for. They're going to put it right back at the line of scrimmage, so it'll be a second down coming up from Shamokin's 29-yard line.
I'll tell you, that defensive line is just beating them up front. There's almost no space, and their linebackers are able to get in there and able to make the tackle.
It's actually a second down and 24 here for Shamokin. 7:30 on the clock here, first quarter action. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC. One receiver each side, one running back in motion for Shamokin. Back to throw. Grimes drops back. He's running out of time, and he's going to just throw it away, and it's going to be a see if they're going to actually pass. It's kind of a spot you might expect to see an intentional grounding. I don't think there was anyone in the vicinity of that toss. Kind of threw it right back into the line, but it is an incomplete pass. It's going to be third down and 24 coming up.
You know, and if you're Shamokin, you really got to look to these short passes. I mean, get it off quick. I mean, Jersey Shore is bringing the pressure, so you know you're not going to get any yards going up the middle, but just got to look for those quick passes to the outside. Just get it out of your hands and let your receiver do the work for you.
Going to spread two receivers to the far side. Grimes under center. Pro set here, two in the backfield. And we've got 9 seconds on the play clock, but penalty flags come out, and it looks like this is going to be a 5-yard penalty off sides. A false start here against Shamokin. So mental miscues have the ball right back now to the 24-yard line.
Go ahead.
You wonder if they're just going to run a draw. Just because with the way their defense is playing, Jersey Shore's defense is playing so far, I don't know if you want third and 29 as a opportunity to pass.
No.
Yeah, this drive started on the 12. They got up to the 43, but now in reverse to the 24-yard line. The only success so far is airing it out, going deep. Let's see what they do. They're going to drop back to throw. Not much time, and throwing it away is Grimes once again. And a penalty flag comes out. I think they're going to get intentional grounding here as the receiver that was closest was about 15 yards away from that pass, maybe further. They were looking towards Joe Mosser. But it is going to be intentional grounding against the quarterback. So you get the loss of down, you get the penalty yardage. So for as much as Shamokin was able to gain on the big pass play to Shikitano, kind of give it all right back in the penalties.
Yeah, that's just such a tough, emotionally that's tough because you made a big play, you're starting to move down the field, and then they lost about 20, 25 yards on penalties and on mental mistakes. And then I think the last play call, I'm scratching my head on that one.
All the way back to the 6-yard line, and it's going to be fourth down and 47. And here's the kick, and it's going to be fielded at the 33. Now to the 30, Jersey Shore. Going to have great field position right about the 27, maybe 27-yard line of Shamokin, and Jersey Shore will have it there. So their second series starting off in Shamokin territory.
Don, we got a flag on the far side of the field.
So waiting on that call, 6:33 to go here in the first quarter. No score. However, Jersey Shore knocking on the door here, depending on the penalty situation. It is going to be against Jersey Shore. So they would have had it on the 27 of the Indians, but they'll march off yardage here on that run back as a, I believe it was an illegal block on that return. And still good field position, not as good as it would have been. For the second time now, they'll have the ball to start on Shamokin's 45-yard line.
Both teams committing penalties here early. It's just costing them a lot of field position, a lot of good field position. So definitely need to clean those up going forward. See how Jersey Shore comes out in the attack now, if they just work the ground game like they're accustomed to.
So here come the Bulldogs, only able to muster up 5 yards on their first drive before having to punt. They're on the identical spot on the field here from the Shamokin 45. Little play action. Rolling right and running out of room and being dropped is Tanner Lorson, the senior quarterback. And He throws first, but they do like to do some quarterback design runs, and that time looked like a quarterback keeper all the way, and it's going to be a loss of about a half yard. They run a no huddle here, so hustling up to the line of scrimmage, trips near side, one receiver to the far side, and Lorson goes down at the 48-yard line, and one of the Indians who just burst through the line did a good job, almost had the face mask, Zach, but did a good job kind of pulling back and not grabbing it.
Yeah, the defense for Shamokin is playing really well, both up front, but the coverage downfield has also been good, where there's been no, the first play, there was no option to pass for him on that rollout.
Third and 13 coming up, same formation, four receivers spread it out, throwing and overthrown, trying to find Caden Hess, and it's a little too far, and it'll be fourth down. So Shamokin, even though the offense has not been able to move the football, the defense for Shamokin answering and able to stymie the Jersey Shore offensive attack.
An early storyline in this game is how the defensive lines are playing and the blitzes that each team is mixing up to put pressure on the quarterback.
Here's the punt for Jersey Shore from his own 42. It's going to hit on the Shamokin 17 and rolls inside the 10. Not good news for Shamokin. It's actually going to be down to the 9-yard line. And, you know, again, the difference on special teams, not fielding that. And, you know, again, a little cautious there for the return man. So you kind of understand there's moments you just can't jump in there and risk turning it over. But there you're going to have the ball set back on the 9-yard line.
Well, like Zach said, you know, with Jersey Shore's defense really getting in there, mixing up the blitzes as well as Shamokin, when you're down around the 9, you really got to be careful here because you don't want to cough it up that close to the end zone. So you got to be really smart with your play calling.
So here comes Shamokin, first down and 10, deep in their own end from the 9-yard line. Grimes hands it off Madden, and Madden not much. In fact, loses probably a yard. Maybe two. Put it back on the 7-yard line. It's going to set up a second down and 12.
Jersey Shore defense is just so quick getting in there. I mean, no sooner is the ball handed off and they're just swarming the ball carrier.
Second down and 12 as Shamokin looking for the answer. So far, the one offensive spark was a deep ball as Grimes found Shikitano on the near sideline. Perfectly executed fly pattern, but otherwise, no room on the ground. And Shamokin had a lot of yards in their opening win against Milton. Since then, it's been tough getting the ground game going here. Quick pass, and on the different page would be Joe Mosser. Mosser's running a fly, and I think it looked like Grimes was maybe expecting him to kind of curl back and have a little hook pattern.
Yeah, either a hook or a back shoulder fade, something. Definitely we're not on the same page on that one.
Again, the pressure up front from Jersey Shore disrupting that passing game, and it's been a theme both ways. It's so far the story is the performance of each of these defenses.
And if you keep watching, I mean, obviously, Shamokin pinning themselves deeper and deeper. So if they're not able to get this fourth down conversion, or this third down conversion, Jersey Shore is going to keep getting that ball closer and closer to that end zone. So something's got to give here soon.
Three on the play clock, third and 12. They get it off. Back to throw. Grimes looking, running out of time, and he's going to be wrapped up inside the 5, and he's going to be dropped. Quarterback sack right at the 4-yard line. So, again, a negative yardage situation for Shamokin, actually losing 5 yards there. So they're going to have it on the 4-yard line. Not a lot of room to punt.
Shamokin has to find a way to make some sort of adjustment against this pass rush. They're in a really tough situation. They're punting out of their own end zone. Are they going to come? Is Jersey Shore going to come and try to block this? Or are they going to set up the return? Either way, this is a tough play.
And, of course, changes on the line for Shamokin because they're playing without their starting center, who's ineligible to play here tonight. Here's the punt. It's going to be fielded at the 38, across the 30-yard line, inside the 25, and out of bounds. Great field position for Jersey Shore. Once again, they will have it on the Shamokin 23-yard line, first down and 10. So three series opening up the game here for Jersey Shore, and three times they will have it in Shamokin territory. This is the best field position so far on the 23-yard line. 3:54 to play in this opening quarter on the high school football game of the week on WGRC. One player in motion. Lorson takes the snap. He pitches it, trying to go left side and inside the 20, 15, 10, 5. It is a touchdown. Malicki from 23 yards out. We have our first points of the night.
Again, the left side of that line just dominated the Shamokin defense. Just had a clear running lane, and he just had one man to beat, and then he was gone.
So the big touchdown run from 23 yards out as Josh Malicki, the senior, already with five touchdowns coming in tonight, make it six. He's got the big 23-yard run. Here is the extra point attempt. It's been a challenging area for both teams this season. This one is up, and it is through. So Cam Allison able to get his team that seventh point. It's now Jersey Shore 7, Shamokin nothing on the High School Football Game of the Week. More coming up in just a moment.
A proud sponsor of WGRC is J.R. Judd Violins. J.R. Judd has been specializing in the restoration, repair, and sales of fine-stringed instruments and their bows since 1989. Located at 1964 Lycoming Creek Road in Williamsport, J.R. Judd Violins carries a complete line of instruments and accessories for string players of all ages and proficiencies. From Psalm 150, praise him with the strings and the flute. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. J.R. Judd Violins, on the web at jrjuddviolins.com or by phone at 321-8070.
Don, Zach, and Chris, it's Southern Columbia 14 and South Williamsport nothing. Julian Fleming with two TDs. He now has 62, and that is a state record for touchdowns. He also now has the state record in receiving yardage on the same play there. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate that. Here's Shamokin receiving the kickoff at the 20-yard line, and Shikatan, who's going to be spun down back at the 15. Looks like they're going to mark him down at the 17-yard line. So Shamokin maybe was hoping the silver lining would be to get a little better field position, but it's not much better here, Zach.
Well, I feel like that ball, it died right on the 20-yard line, and I thought it would come to the returner, but it just died, and he had to get it. He had to pick it up, and as soon as he picked it up, the Jersey Shore coverage team was there.
So here it is, Shamokin, first and 10 from their 17, and we'll say an official congratulations to Julian Fleming and Southern Columbia, always those, you know, teammates that help make those kind of records possible, but always need to get some state records. So the current Tiger and future Ohio State Buckeye will be celebrating there tonight as Southern Columbia with an early lead. We've got a penalty flag down on this first down for Shamokin, and the Indians look like they're going to back up 5 yards. So, again, the frustration of the mental mistakes, Chris.
Yeah, you know, something that just it just popped in my mind, you know, when we were covering the Mifflinburg Warrior Run game last week, the coaches are very prophetic. They know their teams in and out. You know, obviously last week Jason was focused on the run and the pass, mixing that up, and that worked for him. Henry said about the mental miscues, and so far they have not found the answer to overcome that, and they keep pinning themselves deeper.
Two receivers near side on this first down and 15. Grimes back to throw, finds Shikatano, 10, 15-yard line, quick pass, and there you see an adjustment. He's to the 17-yard line, and again, trying to just make it quick out of the quarterback's hand.
Yeah, using those quick bubble screens, those wide receiver screens, that's a good counter. But, you know, to your point, Chris, if they don't stop making these mental errors, it's not going to matter because it was first and 10, then it was first and 15. They got 6 yards. It would be second and 4, but now it's second and 9. And so they're still in a rough place with down and distance.
So as you said, second down and 9, Shamokin on the 17-yard line. It's Jersey Shore 7, Shamokin nothing. We've got 2:40 to go in this first quarter. Here's a handoff. Left side trying to find some room and maybe back to the line of scrimmage, but that is going to be it as Pearson that time with the carry, and not much there on the ground.
Pearson's got to go north and south, or in this case east and west. I mean, when you're going to the outside and you're just running a straight line, you're just giving the defense more time to catch up to you. I mean, you got to make a cut, and you just got to stick your foot in that hole and go.
Now a big third down coming up for Shamokin as the Indians facing a third down and 9. Jersey Shore looking to come up with yet another stop on defense. Shamokin at that 17-yard line. Tight formation here. Three in the backfield. Fakes the handoff. Looking now. Throwing. Going for Pearson. And it's going to be off his hand. Incomplete. Overthrown a bit as Grimes pass a bit too high. So fourth down, and the punting unit comes out once again for Shamokin.
Grimes was really lucky to throw that when he did, because there was a blindside hit coming about a half second after he released that ball, And just knowing what happens when you get blindside hit, it's a fumble, a strip fumble waiting to happen. We'll have to see if that's a danger moving forward with just how Jersey Shore's defense has just dominated the offensive line up front.
And Jersey Shore's returners right about midfield, so set to try and get the ball back on the Shamokin side once again. Grimes with the punt. It's going to be fielded at the 45 and then almost immediately tackled by Pearson as the returner is going to be brought down right there. And the return that time for Jersey Shore was Dalton Dungan. So, still, great field position for Jersey Shore on the 43-yard line of the Indians. Four series now for Jersey Shore, all of them starting on the Shamokin side of the field. Lorson comes up under center, one receiver each side, power eye. Now that one receiver moves near side, handoff. And nothing this time as they try to get to Maliki, who tries that left side again. It worked out as a touchdown run on the last drive, but there, maybe only a half yard at most. We'll still say second down and 10 coming up. No huddle here for Jersey Shore.
Good credit to Shamokin defense there. Get to the outside and gang tack them before he broke free.
One receiver each side. Jersey Shore is working right to left. Now they go two receivers on the far side. Thrown up for grabs. Shamokin with a pick. Coming back the other way. Midfield, 40-yard line to the 30, 25, and down at the 20. And if Shamokin was looking for a spark, that would be it.
What a play by Joe Masser. He read that perfectly. He had his wide... It seemed like he had his wide receiver wide open, but Masser watched his eyes the entire time and came and jumped the route. What a great play by Masser, and what a great run back. He's down near the 20-yard line.
So Shamokin, after having just dismal field position through that whole first quarter, 55 seconds to go, and now they will start with a drive on the 20-yard line of Jersey Shore. First down and 10 coming up for Shamokin as sudden life here on the home fans for homecoming. Two receiver set, Chicatano and Masser. Grimes looks, throws, and it's going to be into the turf just in front of Masser. And again, we had Grimes rolling to his right, not a lot of time, had to kind of get rid of it off balance, but it does fall incomplete. Second and 10 coming up.
If you're Grimes out there, you just got to settle your guys down. You had a tremendous play here on defense, just settle them down. You're close to the end zone. You're at the 20. Just work your play call.
Masser checks out on this play. 50 seconds. Clock is stopped. Play clock at 15. In the backfield is going to be Madden and Pearson. Actually, three are in the backfield. Frosch is back there as well. And this is going to be a handoff to Pearson. Pearson left side. He's got a little room, and he gets to the 15-yard line. That's going to be a gain of five. Third and five coming up for Shamokin.
It's another wrinkle. They ran a wing T or a power T, which you don't typically see anymore. But they used the other wing back as a blocker, as a lead blocker for the back there.
So it nets 5 yards on the ground, something Shamokin's not had a lot of positive territory. So far it had been all through the air. But now it's a third down and five. Could be a run or pass scenario here. This would be four down territory likely for Shamokin. Their starting place kicker is out tonight, again, due to suspension. Handoff, and this is going to be not quite enough for the first down. They're going to have this placed at about the 12. Madden that time with the carry, but again, four down territory. Actually, Zach, looks like it's closer to just a yard needed.
Yeah, you called it right, Don. This was clearly a play for fourth down.
And it's the final play of the first quarter. We'll come back with that fourth down in just a moment. End of the first quarter, it's Jersey Shore 7. Shamokin nothing, but they're knocking on the door. Back with second quarter action coming up on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment.
They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and ReCore charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Don, Zach, and Chris in the first. It's Central Columbia 14 and Danville nothing. Mount Carmel 14 and Mifflinburg nothing in the first. Montoursville 21 and Milton nothing also in the first. Sealands Grove leading Loyal Sox 7-0 in the first. It's Warrior Run 7, Hughesville nothing in the first. And in the second, it's Canton 14 and Muncie nothing. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Well, here we've got a good one, and it's a fourth down coming up for Shamokin. It's Jersey Shore 7, Shamokin nothing, needing a yard, giving it to Madden, and Madden, the effort across the 10-yard line, straight up the middle, and that's going to be enough for a Shamokin first down.
They're starting to find a little bit of space in between the center and the guard, but you wonder, you know, are they going to be able to get other plays off of that to give Grimes protection, to open up their offense a bit to their big wide receivers in Masser and Cicatano.
It is two first downs now for Shamokin, just starting to get that offense going. They started this drive after the big interception, starting it on the Jersey Shore 20. Right now they have it on the 10. Pitch, Madden, right side, looking for room. He's inside to about the 8, now the 7-yard line. It'll be second down and goal coming up from the 7.
Shamokin content to just kind of keep pushing it up the middle there. Probably could have gotten a few more yards if he would have run a draw, but trying to find room on the outside and only getting a couple. So see what they do here.
Chris, I think you made a good call earlier that the north and south, if they just stick to that, there's a little bit of room there. But going east and west is going to be too difficult against this Jersey Shore defense.
Second down and 7. Here comes Shamokin, tight formation, 3 in the backfield. Grimes under center, takes the snap, hands it off. Madden inside the 5, pushing close. He's to the 2-yard line, and they'll mark him down there. Big surge that time for Shamokin. It's the third down and goal coming up from the 2.
And if you're Shamokin, that's the key. I mean, you just get behind big number 78, Jonathan Washuda, 6'3", 295. He's a wonderful block ahead of you. He just kind of cleared some guys out of the way, and that's what you just got to do. You just got to run north and south, get a couple good blockers ahead of you, and follow your blocks.
All right, so coming up now, third down and goal. Just underway in the second quarter, 10:15 showing on the clock. Tight formation. Once again, here's Madden, and we've got penalty flags down.
Penalty marker on the play.
Didn't see if the play clock may have hit 0 there.
Looks like referee is motioning against Jersey Shore.
Again, the ball is on the 2-yard line here for this Shamokin at third down, and they are going to move it half the distance to the goal, and we can do that math pretty easily. That moves the ball 1 yard, so it goes to the 1-yard line. So it is going to be an offsides penalty against Jersey Shore. So third and 1, third and goal from the 1-yard line coming up for Shamokin.
That line's just got to give a big push right here and just get their back in the end zone.
We'll see if Grimes opts to keep it himself or if he hands it off. He can run the football. He's had some designs to do that. It's going to be a handoff. This is Madden. Madden trying to stretch for the goal line. I have not seen a touchdown call yet.
They're calling fourth down.
It's going to be about maybe the length of the football needed. So Shamokin right there, and I'm sure Coach Henry Hynoski is definitely wanting to see this one reach the end zone. So fourth down, they are going for it, of course.
You got to get this if you're Shamokin. This would be a tremendous, tremendous drive killer. You don't get this. I mean, you're that close.
Started on the Jersey Shore 20-yard line, so looking to try and finish it off. They need that last half yard right now. Coming up fourth down. It's going to be a quarterback keeper, and Grimes has got it. Touchdown straight up the middle. Grimes from 1 yard out, and now just an extra point away from tying the game. And an extra point is not something to take lightly anytime in high school football, but particularly right now, these two teams may be struggling a bit when it comes to this category, and Carson Ososki is going to be kicking for Shamokin. Only one made point after attempt, I think, on the season for Shamokin, so Coach said, don't be surprised if we go for 2, but right now they're going to try and tie it up. Let's see how it works out. Ososki, it's a good snap, good hold. The kick is up, and let's credit it. It is good.
Faith in the kicker paid off.
There you have it.
I don't know what got more reaction, the touchdown or the extra point.
Rightfully so, maybe the extra point. 9:19 to go in the first half. It's Jersey Shore 7, Shamokin 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
And right on cue, they've gotten fired up in Shamokin as the Indians have tied this one at 7. Jersey Shore takes the kickoff. Try a little bit of razzle-dazzle, but instead the ball hits the turf as Allison handed the football off to Anderson, and Jersey Shore has to pounce on it. They will have it on their own 20-yard line. So try a little extra handoff on that kick return and does not pay off. So the most challenged field position of the night so far for Jersey Shore by far. They have it on their own 20-yard line. Their first four drives of the game all started well in Shamokin territory. First down and 10. Trips far side. One receiver near side. Instead, handoff to Malicki, and he is just gobbled up at the 15-yard line as Shamokin able to get pressure in that backfield and wrap up the ball carry.
Shamokin's got a tremendous amount of momentum now. They're riding the wave of that touchdown. Defense wants to step it up here, force a three and out, and get the ball back.
They run a no huddle, so quickly to the line of scrimmage comes Jersey Shore. Second down and 14. Back to throw, coming near sideline, and it's going to be incomplete. Great coverage. Matt Chicatano just blanketing Caden Hess, and kind of a jump ball there, and Caden Hess at 6'2", but Matt Chicatano also at 6'2", pretty even matchup there if they're going to have a jump ball scenario.
Hess tried to hit him with a hitch and go, and Chicatano just did not fall for it. Great coverage on that.
Here comes a third down now and long coming up. Jersey Shore rolling out is Larson. He's going to keep it himself. Left side, he gets to the 25-yard line. He is going to be shy of a first down. Shamokin holds, but a few positive yards, still picking up almost 10 there for the quarterback. So helping with field position, but not enough to extend the drive. Fourth and 5, Jersey Shore punting from their 25.
Tell you what, Jersey Shore, uncharacteristic three and out after that score. Tom Grouch has got to be scratching his head right now against this Shamokin team with the momentum.
Punt comes back to Pearson. Pearson has it on the 44, plows straight forward to midfield, and he's going to be downed right there. Shamokin will have it on the 50-yard line. First down and 10. You know, we have 8:04 to play in this first half, and this is already going to be the sixth drive for Shamokin. So a few big plays, but a lot of defense so far, a lot of three and outs, a lot of negative yardage for both these teams, but now Shamokin's starting to get that field position tipping in their favor.
I was just going to say, Don, you mentioned it a drive ago. For the entire game, Jersey Shore has had the best field position, and Shamokin has been pinned inside their own 20. It's completely reversed now, and now all the momentum is with Shamokin.
And with all that time on the Shamokin side of the field, Jersey Shore coming up with 7 points for it. We'll see how Shamokin does, and it's going to be a handoff that hits the turf, but Grimes gets on top of it, but it's going to be a loss of 2. So alertly, Grimes gets it, but you've got that exchange between the center and quarterback, and again, you've got a different center tonight. Rodermel is filling in as Nelson. Again, I mentioned earlier about the suspensions from last week, so Andrew Nelson, the normal senior center, not playing tonight.
We've been talking about mental errors all game, and just as soon as you have all this momentum, you have that mental error. That's tough for Shamokin.
So second and 12, Shamokin on their 48-yard line. Here comes the pitch, and the ball hits the turf. Madden loses it, and Jersey Shore has it. Jersey Shore on the 38-yard line as Shamokin had an opportunity or two to try and grab that. Instead, it's Malicki in the right place at the right time. So the second fumble of the night here for the Indians, and both times it's hit the turf there. It is gone Jersey Shore's way.
Yeah, just keeping a hold of that ball is again a problem for Shamokin. I mean, you make a fantastic play on offense and then you turn it right back over in costly field position here.
So here comes Jersey Shore, one receiver each side, power eye formation. Now they're going to have in motion. Hess goes right to left, pitch here to Malicki, and Malicki is going to be brought down at the 41-yard line. So a loss of four on that carry.
Josh Malicki on the carry.
So we've seen, again, Jersey Shore not able to get the ground game working here tonight. Credit Shamokin's defensive line up front for that. Back to throw, Lorson. Lorson goes far sideline, and it's caught. Shakes a tackler inside the 25-yard line as the defensive back went for the football. It was Mosser, maybe hoping to try and get another one of those interceptions. Instead, it's caught, and Westlin able to get the first down.
And Mosser went high, but he couldn't get the ball in time.
Guys, that's the first down here tonight for Jersey Shore. They had a big touchdown run, but that's the first time they've got a first down. And there's a carry. It's going to be maybe for about a yard, placed down near the 21. Second down and 9 here for Jersey Shore. 6:27 playing in this first half. I formation, one receiver each side. Lorson under center, rolls right. Throws, and he just misses. Westland trying to find the junior once again and leads him a little too far. So third down and 9 coming up as Shamokin looks for yet another stop on defense.
Watching the body language down here, the Shamokin defenders, and so far this up-tempo pace from Jersey Shore doesn't seem to be bothering them. Not too laboring and breathing right now, so able to keep up with the pace of Jersey Shore.
So third down and 9 here for Jersey Shore. Lorson from the shotgun, runs out of time, penalty flag comes out, he scrambles inside the 20, inside the 15, 10, 5, goes for the end zone, it's a touchdown if the play stands.
Hunter Rodermel had the quarterback dead to rights, and he got held basically to save his life.
So that's going to negate what would have been a touchdown run, but as you guys are very astutely pointing out, that would not have been a touchdown run had the play been run without the penalty there. So Jersey Shore marching back. It was a third down carry, again, by the quarterback. That's going to be negated. So 10 yards from the spot of the foul. It's going to have this back right about the 37, 38. Let's see when they place it. They're going to put it right about the 37-yard line. So
a little bit of role reversal here. You know, in the first quarter, we saw Shamokin racking up the penalties, pushing themselves back. Now Jersey Shore starting to get a few more.
So let's see the approach here. Third down and 24 coming up here for the Bulldogs. Two receivers each side. Lorson running out of time. He's going to be initially almost dropped. Now he breaks free. 35-30 and an athletic run to the 29-yard line. A lot of purple and white had him surrounded back around the 45 and showing some fancy footwork as Tanner Lorson, he's run for 7 touchdowns and 360-plus yards coming into tonight's game. There came up with a big carry. And this actually allows for a four-down scenario. They have it on the, currently, Jersey Shore does, on the Shamokin 29-yard line. Spreading it out with four receivers. Back to throw. Fires across the middle and threw it a little bit behind the would-be target as had he led him properly, that's a touchdown. Trying to find Owen Anderson, and Lorson's going to want that throw back.
Yeah, he had him open across the middle as he was running a post. He just misses him to the backside behind him. That's a lucky break for Shamokin. They had him dead to rights on that last play. They are fortunate that they're going to get the ball back here.
So Shamokin will take over on downs. 5:22 to go in this first half, and it's Shamokin from their own 29-yard line. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week here on WGRC. Jersey Shore 7, Shamokin 7. Hand off. This is going to be Madden. Madden gets to the 30 and powers forward to about the 33-yard line. It's going to set up a second down and about 7 coming up here for Shamokin.
Tell you, Shamokin has really changed the way that they're playing this game offensively. Their wide receivers aren't out there. They're in massive tight end sets with a heavy backfield, either it's wing T or a full house backfield. They are just trying to get 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust.
Here comes the second down and 7 from the 33-yard line. Grimes hands it off to Madden once again across the 35, puts his head down, gets to the 37. It's going to set up a third down and short. So you talk about, you know, with running play staying on schedule here, that's what they're doing on this particular series. And it leaves a third down and just 2. Very makeable, manageable situation currently for Shamokin.
Madden's doing a good job of following his blocks, keeping his pad level low. He's not making the big runs, but he's getting the runs, as you said, keeping them on schedule. 3 yards, 4 yards. Earlier in the game, it was tackles for loss. This is much more effective right now for Shamokin's offense.
3rd and 2 coming up for the Indians from their 37-yard line. We've got 4 minutes to go in the first half. 3 in the backfield. Madden just able to pop forward to the 40-yard line, and he's got that first down with about a yard to spare. Big first down there for Shamokin. Again, things are settling down here after a rocky start for the Indians on offense.
Madden with another really crafty run. You know, just sidestepped a tackle, able to kind of sprawl his way across for a first down.
This game moving along at rapid pace is 3:43 on the clock.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Just checking in. Just have a number change here for you. Number 7 is Wolfgang Pearson tonight. I had to get a change because I couldn't find 7 on the roster, so just updating that for you.
Appreciate that, Chris. And here's this first down. Back to throw. Caught. Mosser near sideline. Crossed the 45. Midfield carrying a couple of Bulldogs to the 49-yard line. And he told Anderson and also Schaefer, just go ahead, get on my back. I'll pull you a few more yards. So the big wide receiver able to come up with that first down catch. And Shamokin on the Jersey Shore side of the field to the 48-yard line.
That is the first offensive play that Masser has been in on this series. And they throw it to him. And the good reason, he is one of their best players, one of the most explosive players.
He had a big explosive play earlier on defense with a big interception that set up Shamokin's first touchdown. Here's a handoff, Madden. This time he's going to lose about a half yard, making a full yard back at the 50-yard line. 2nd and 11 coming up now for Shamokin.
Number 33, Dawson Sechrist, coming up with a big stop on Madden to get this 2nd and long.
Now the clock at 3 minutes to go. First half, by the way, along at the halftime, we'll have a special featured interview. You'll hear a perspective related to sports and also something coming up this week called Bring Your Bible to School Day. We'll be chatting with someone from Focus on the Family and actually how NFL players, including Drew Brees, kind of weighed in on this particular event coming up this week. So keep an ear out for that at the half. Also, the scoreboard as well. And we'll recap this first half of action. Still some to go. 2nd and 11. Back to throw. Grimes rolls right. Throws. Caught by Shikitano at the 35-yard line. And down at the 34.
Great job by Nate Grimes of avoiding the rush. He was dead to rights from the Jersey Shore defender, but he was able to escape out of the pocket and hit Shikitano downfield. Great play. I really love how the offensive play caller is changing it up. We were criticizing him before a little bit. They kept calling plays that got him stuck in bad situations. Really great play calling the past couple series.
1st down and 10 coming up Shamokin from the Jersey Shore 33-yard line. This game tied at 7. Grimes under center, 2 in the backfield, fakes it to Madden, now rolls left, running out of time, and Grimes goes down at the 38. That's going to be a loss of 5.
Got a Shamokin player down here, possible cramp, number 82.
That's Blake Kane, the tight end.
Also, Matt Shikitano, that is, checking out as well, kind of hobbling off to the bench.
And just going back to Shamokin here, I mean, this Jersey Shore defense, they're not going to let them get too many down the field plays. So, you know, they were having more success with quick outs, you know, the screens, those sorts of things. You hold on to that ball too long, and that defense is just too quick. So I think they have to go back to that, mixing up the screens and the short outs and things like that, mixing up the run in there.
We've got a timeout on the field. Let's take a 30-second break as well. Our score, it's tied at 7. Jersey Shore at Shamokin, the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS. providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Don, Zach, and Chris in the second. It's Pentons Valley 14 and Midwest nothing. And Chicolimi leading Central Mountain 14 to nothing in the second. Now back to you.
All right, that's a matchup there between two teams, each looking for their first win of the season. So it's a something's got to give game. And thanks, John, for sharing right now who has the advantage. Right now, it's tied up here at Shamokin. It's Jersey Shore and Shamokin knotted at 7 apiece. 1:40 to go in this first half. And right now, Shamokin facing a second down and 15 from the Jersey Shore 38-yard line. Grimes comes up under center, one receiver each side, two in the backfield. Grimes back to throw, and it's going to be picked off at the 25. I think Grimes had his arm hit as he delivered that football. He's a little slow getting up, but that is going to be an interception, and Jersey Shore has it from the 26-yard line. So the story of defense, defense, defense continues to dominate tonight.
Tell you what. We're looking at Shamokin here right now, and Nate Grimes is not happy. His line is just not giving him protection. He just took two big shots there from the Jersey Shore defense.
So Jersey Shore now having it first down and 10 from their 26-yard line. 1:23 to go in this first half. Quick draw up the middle. I believe that was Malicki perhaps with the carry. Nope, it's actually Sechrist. Dawson Sechrist, senior fullback. Just a quick draw up the middle. Good for three, second down and 7 from the 29-yard line.
Getting down about 1 minute left here to go before the half.
Shotgun, spread it out with four receivers, two to each side. Back to throw, going deep, and just off the hands of Caden Hess. Not a bad throw right there, just a hair long, and Caden Hess almost reeled it in, but it's going to be incomplete. Third down coming up, Jersey Shore.
Interesting offensive decision here. Do you go for another big play, or do you run the ball to try to run clock just to get out to the half?
Penalty flag comes out. Let's see if this impacts things, as Jersey Shore had not yet snapped the football. It's a third down and 7 from the 29-yard line.
I'll be curious to see what this is, because they didn't even really get set, and the official threw the flag.
Sideline warning. Sideline warning coming up here against Shamokin.
Wow.
So Coach Henry Hynoski telling everybody, get back. They have a line there, and I guess too many guys toeing the line. So it's third down and 7 inside of a minute to go in the first half. Fake handoff, Lorison rolling left. He's got a little room, across the 30, 35, 40, 45, midfield, and still on the sideline. He stays in bounds, 20, 10, 5, and touchdown. And one or two Shamokin Indians whiffed on the far sideline. Zach looked like they wanted to just push him out of bounds, and kind of just not enough push. And the quarterback with a electrifying 71-yard touchdown run.
Of all the things that I thought could happen, that was one of the least likely in my mind. Just a quarterback rollout, and you think, oh, it's a run-pass option. Like maybe he's going to run, throw it downfield. Then as he started sprinting out, I was like, okay, they've got an angle on him, but he outran the angle.
And here's the extra point attempt by Allison. It is up, and it is through. So with 38 seconds to go, it's now Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
WGRC is grateful for the support of the Pine Barn Inn of Danville. Located at the base of Geisinger Medical Center campus, the inn's guest rooms feature Wi-Fi and individual climate control. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the Pine Barn Inn also hosts meetings, banquets, and events. Their wedding packages include planning assistance as well as lodging for the bride and groom. On the web at pinebarninn.com, their phone number is 570-275-2071.
Don, Zach, and Chris in the second. It's Warrior Run increasing its lead over Hughesville. It's 20 to nothing now in that one. And Selinsgrove leading Loyal Sock 13 to nothing in the second. Now back to you.
And here it's now Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7, and a tight formation on this kickoff. Let's see if there's some kind of a squib or onside kick type scenario for Jersey Shore. 38 seconds on that clock. Again, a big play, and that was the undoing of Shamokin a week ago, giving up some big plays at the end of the game to Lewisburg, losing by two. And there it's a big play by Jersey Shore. Well, it is a deep kick, an end-over-end kick taken at the 14-yard line. Now to the 25, looking for room, cutting it back, and not going to work out well. Going to be wrapped up and brought down about the 15-yard line as Joe Mosser trying to find some room and unable to do so.
Tell you what, Coach Henry Hanowski cannot be happy with that. I mean, you get that yardage, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to cut back against four or five defenders, and you lose probably 10 yards there. So just got to be smarter with the decision and just stick with what you got.
Yeah, it was getting close to the 30-yard line, but backtracking to the 20. So first and 10. And likely Shamokin going to play it pretty conservative here, but we'll see. A couple of big pass plays to Shikitano earlier in that first half, but trailing by seven on their own 20-yard line, and Jersey Shore will be set to get the second half kickoff when we do come back from halftime.
Got a timeout here by Shamokin.
And we'll take a timeout as well. So with a timeout on the field, we'll be back with the conclusion of the second quarter coming up. It's Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
High school football action on WGRC.
And we've had the action of some big plays here tonight. Jersey Shore with one more than Shamokin. So it's 14-7. Jersey Shore leading the Indians here tonight. Shamokin with the ball on their own 20-yard line. First down and 10. Handoff. This is going to be to Madden, and Madden right back to the line of scrimmage. Just a draw up the middle. So playing it conservative. Not a surprise there as looking to just run out this first half and head to halftime, trailing by seven.
I think that's a good decision. The last thing you want is another mental error. Shamokin's had three fumbles and an interception in this game. And so to have one more and have Jersey Shore go up 21-7 possibly would have been catastrophic. So really good decision by Shamokin, but Shamokin has to be kicking themselves.
Well, it is a 14-7 game here on homecoming night at Shamokin, and the Jersey Shore Bulldogs are heading into the locker room led by head football coach Tom Gravish. So we're going to have in just a moment that halftime featured interview for you about Bring Your Bible to School Day, which is coming up later this week, and how it connects some of the attention that was focused on by Drew Brees and some other NFL players. We'll hear from a guest from Focus on the Family. We'll have the scoreboard, recap the action for you in this first half. Lots to do. It's the halftime show. Our score, it's Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7, here on WGRC's High School Football Game of the Week.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Vreeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
If you're the father or father figure of a 7 to 17-year-old boy, the Born to be Brave Tour has the answers you're looking for. Born to be Brave is a live stage event that celebrates true biblical man stuff. Join us for a night of adventure, live worship featuring the Alan Scott Band, The Wheel of Destruction, and 1,000 ping pong balls.
Coming to Calvary Church in Bowlesburg, Friday, October 4th at 6:30 p.m.
For more info, go to borntobebravetour.com.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Cultmont.
And WGRC.com.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC. The Halftime Interview.
We had to focus on the family. The director of education initiatives and also founder of Bring Your Bible to School Day, Candy Cushman, joins us. Candy, thanks for taking a little time out to chat with us.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
This Bring Your Bible to School Day, when did it get started and what gave you the inspiration to start something like that?
Well, you know, that is so interesting because about 5 years ago, you know, even back then we were seeing these headlines and we were getting calls from our parents and students. In our ministry, they were telling us, we're being told things like we can't even have our Bible on our desk. I've talked to students who have just been walking through the hallways and had their Bible in their hand and been told, you know, I don't think you're allowed to have that. Why don't you put that away in your locker? Or, you know, we've seen headlines even with the kids being told they couldn't just even bow their head silently and pray before lunch. So we just wanted to find a way to empower kids, to let families know that's not accurate. That is not the vision this country was founded upon, and the students actually have very powerful free speech rights, religious freedom rights to pray and read their Bible during free time, and that is backed all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we were thinking, how can we find a fun way to remind students of what their freedoms are and also let them know they're not alone, there are people all over the nation standing behind them, and that they can express their faith with boldness and share God's love with friends and share what God's doing in their life. And that's how this Bring Your Bible to School Day was birthed, just through that kind of thinking. And what we were amazed about is how students resonated with it, because the first year we kind of just did a test launch, maybe 3 weeks of promotion, and there were 8,000 students across the nation that participated. And here we are 5 or 6 years later, and more than 500,000 kids are participating in this. And I think one reason that it resonated so powerfully is that it's easy for them to do. It empowers them. It's a loving and redemptive thing they can do to start conversations, and so it's just taken off. And so I do encourage people to check out bringyourbible.org if they just want to see some of the kids telling their stories about what happened.
I know it's kind of always great to get the word out there when some of the well-known people around the country kind of get behind it and say, hey, this is something to consider, something to encourage and support. And that's happened from the ranks of the NFL. And current New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees would be among others that have said, this is a great thing to do. Was that surprising to you to see some of that backing from the NFL? I know it triggered a lot of various conversation, but I know it probably brought a lot of additional awareness, too.
You know, that's just been an amazing thing that we couldn't predict. I mean, these shout-outs from Drew Brees to the kids and Benjamin Watson has been amazing. And I think it's so powerful because you've got these Christian guys, these Christian family guys that are just amazing role models. And they're reaching out and speaking to our nation's young people and saying, hey, it is okay to live out your faith in public. And that is so powerful. And I've gotten emails from parents, you know, saying, my boys are super excited about this. So I'm so humbled and amazed how God is using those role models and also that they themselves are showing that kind of boldness, that they are willing to speak out and encourage kids like that.
So obviously the encouragement is to take the Bible to school on October the 3rd. That's the date for this. Not that it only happens that day, but that's the date that this is kind of centered around. What's the goal? What's the desire beyond just knowing that a student has taken that choice? But obviously you want to see positive things happening in individuals' lives when it comes to actually opening that Bible and then living by it?
Yeah, so the motto for the whole event, Bring Your Bible to School Day, is happening on October 3rd, like you said, but the motto for the whole event is Bring It, Share It, Live It. And what's fun about that is that this year we're doing something new, and we're going to be challenging students right after the event. For the first time, we're going to be challenging students to implement that live it part. So it's kind of like bringing your Bible and just starting conversations is kind of the event. They're going to get monthly challenges. Those that participated and signed up with us and have been following us on social media, they're going to get monthly live your faith challenges where they will have practical tips and ways that they can share on social media how they're just reaching out in their community and their schools and just living, being Christ, putting hands and feet on the name of Jesus in their communities. So it's also we're going to have ways for families to get involved together. So I'm excited about that part of it, how that's expanding this year.
Candy Cushman, she's our guest here from Focus on the Family. She's the founder of Bring Your Bible to School Day. It's coming up on October the 3rd. And obviously, we want to be positive in all these kind of conversations. And something like this, we mentioned earlier about the NFL, some of the players that really spoke out in support of this. Then there's pushback from other groups that have other agendas and, kind of want to rain on any kind of idea like that. Just an encouragement to keep the conversation positive and I assume that's probably the goal that Focus on the Family has, and that you would encourage other sponsors and supporters to have as well.
Yeah, we encourage students and families that this is about starting conversations, not confrontations, and that our whole model is being that model that Christ gives us in the Bible, that Jesus gives us. He reached out to the hurting and vulnerable people in society. He reached out to the people that were considered outcasts. He was willing to give his life for them, and we want to be that model. But at the same time, Jesus never backed away from God's truth. But he always shared that in a way that gave people hope. There's great, we have a whole study on looking at that example of Jesus and the disciples, how they would go in communities, and they would start conversations with God's hope. I mean, you think about Jesus and the woman at the well. He's starting that conversation with hope, not just condemning, but he also was up front with her about God's truth. And so there are just some great examples that we can point students to in the Bible as churches and families as well. And I would just encourage people, I think it's great to learn from this whole thing that's happening in the media with Drew Brees and Bring Your Bible to School Day, that we see many instances of this with Christians getting attacked for living out their faith in public. But, that's nothing new. We've been seeing that since biblical times. And all it does is illustrate why we need events like Bring Your Bible to School Day. And we, rather than being intimidated by these things that have been happening, it just empowers us to know we're not alone. There are people that are standing with us. It's amazing, like you said, to see all these football players standing alongside Drew Brees and Focus on the Family.
Appreciate it. Candy, what again is that website if people want to find out a little bit more about the event?
I do encourage people to check out bringyourbible.org. They can see lots of videos from students talking about what the experience was like for them. There are great tools on there for both students, parents, and pastors. And then also we have something fun going on for families right now that when they go there and they just want to have their voice be counted and join the Bring Your Bible movement, they're also automatically entered when they sign up for a chance to win a trip for four to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. So that's bringyourbible.org.
That's Candy Cushman. She is the Director of Education Initiatives at Focus on the Family and founder of Bring Your Bible to School Day. Thanks again for sharing about it. Appreciate all the work you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate you getting the word out.
You've been listening to the Halftime Interview. Get set for the second half of tonight's game on WGRC's Football Friday.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons, LLC. A proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Grace Chapel is pleased to be supporting WGRC. We're connecting people to Christ and one another in love is our mission. If you don't have a church home, we'd encourage you to come join us. As you get to know us, it's our prayer that you'll gain a sense of what it's like to be part of the family of God.
We're located at 126 Airport Road in the village of Overlook, Shamokin. Learn more and check out our online resources on Facebook and at gracechpl.com.
Taking a look at our WGRC halftime scoreboard. A lot of these games actually aren't to halftime yet. Central Columbia 28 and Danville 7 there late in the second. Pens Valley 21 and Midwest 7 there also in the second. Mount Carmel leading Mifflinburg 21-7 in the second. It's Montoursville 49 and Milton nothing there at the half. Sealands Grove is leading Loyal Sauk 13-0 at halftime. In the second, it's Chickalemme 28 and Central Mountain 7. Southern Columbia 62 and South Williamsport nothing. They still have plenty of time left until halftime in that one. Warrior Run 28 and Hughesville nothing in the second. And at halftime, it's Canton 21 and Muncie 7. Now back to you guys.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate that halftime scoreboard. And here we are at the half, and it's Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7. And this first half, Shamokin received the football first, and it was really all defense, both sides and Jersey Shore. Their first four series, all starting off on the Shamokin side of the field quite a bit, in fact. The first points of the board of the night came and were put on the board with a 23-yard touchdown run by Josh Malicki, the senior running back. That came with 3:45 to go in the first quarter. The extra point was good, made it 7-0. Then it was a big interception by Joe Mosser on defense, kind of turned the field over, and that gave Shamokin some decent field position, in fact, great field position, on the Jersey Shore 20-yard line. And there, Shamokin was able to capitalize. They took it 20 yards, and it was Grimes, the quarterback, with a one-yard touchdown run on fourth down that put Shamokin on the board, tied it up at 7. That was with 9:19 to go in the first half. Then it looked like we might be heading to halftime tied. However, after an interception, Jersey Shore was sparked by a 71-yard touchdown run on third down by the quarterback. Tanner Lorson was able to navigate the far sideline, and he made it 14-7 with 38 seconds to go. Big play there to really close out that first half of action. So here we are. It's Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7. We've got the teams coming back onto the field in just a moment. Chris is going to be chatting with head football coach Henry Hynoski of Shamokin. So, Zach, you know, big plays. Of course, Lorson, the biggest of them all, really getting Jersey Shore on the board there at the end.
Yeah, I think I underestimated Tanner Lorson's speed and quickness. He has not had a good day throwing the ball. He's only completed one pass, but that run really sparked them.
Here come the Indians.
So we'll catch head football coach Henry Hynoski here in just a moment. It is homecoming here at Shamokin. They had most of those homecoming festivities all pregame. So the halftime coming to a conclusion here. Again, it's Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7. And big second half of action coming up, and we'll continue to keep you up to date with all the scores. Let's head down and hear from Coach Hynoski.
Hey, Coach. So first half, overcame some adversity in the first quarter there. Much better second quarter. Your defense hung in there, made some great stands. Had that one play there going into halftime, but how do you look to build on that momentum that you had in the second half before that one miscue?
Defense played great the whole game except for two plays, and that's what ended up getting on the scoreboard, two big chunk plays. Offensively, it comes down to turnovers and pass protection. So we just got to be smart, keep doing what we're doing because we're right there. You know, we're doing a lot of good things, but we're shooting ourselves in the foot. So we just got to, you know, stick with the plan, stick with the formula, and hopefully it'll work out the second half.
Okay, best of luck to you in the second half.
Thank you.
Head football coach Henry Hynoski of Shamokin. We'll take a 30-second, actually we'll take a 60-second break, and when we come back, we'll have the second half kickoff tonight. It is Jersey Shore 14, Shamokin 7. Back with more in a moment on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. online at horizonfcu.org.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Don Castelline, Zach Guggenheim, and Chris Miller at the field. John Callahan producing tonight. Glad to bring you this featured high school football game of the week. Start of the second half of the season. It is week six, and we've got a good one here tonight. Jersey Shore leading Shemokin 14-7. Again, Jersey Shore coming in tonight at 3-2 on the season. Fresh off a victory against Shikellamy, and here tonight trying to push that record to 4-2. Next week, Jersey Shore will be home against Southern Columbia. Then they'll travel to Lewisburg. As for Shemokin, 2-3 on the year. They've lost their last two to Southern Columbia and then the heartbreaker a week ago to Lewisburg. Kind of fallen apart in the fourth quarter. Big plays from Lewisburg. Got the Green Dragons the win. So Shemokin looking to bounce back at home tonight. Next week, they will be home against Sealands Grove. And in fact, WGRC will be here next week for that matchup as the Sealands Grove Seals play the Shemokin Indians. Here tonight, we've got a second half of action. Shemokin set to kick off to Jersey Shore. And the kick, it is end over end and a short one. Hits on the 32-yard line, picked up at the 30 and then dropped at the 35. And that is where Jersey Shore will have it. First down and 10.
This continues the game theme for Jersey Shore has been good field position. They're not on the other side of the 50 this time around, but they're starting at their own 35-yard line.
So Jersey Shore, first down and 10, 35-yard line. Tanner Lorson, the quarterback. And coming in tonight, having completed 52% of his passes, been a tough night through the air tonight, but he's had a big, big play, a 71-yard touchdown run, getting his team on top before halftime. This pass is caught near sideline, finds Owen Anderson, the junior wide receiver, and that's going to be good for about 8 yards, maybe nine. Make it second down and one coming up for the Bulldogs.
Really good play design, having number 15, Owen Anderson, come into motion.
Shotgun, snap, handoff, Malicki. He's got the first down. He's across midfield and near the Shemokin 49-yard line.
Josh Malicki on the carry. Tackle on the play number 7, Wolfgang.
Big carry on the ground, and you know, you have that sometimes that moment where the run can set up the throw, and oftentimes I think the throw, the pass can set up the run here for Jersey Shore. They just didn't get the passing game working in the first half. Right now, one successful throw, one successful run. Quick pass. Malicki catches it. It's a screen play. He's got room, 40-yard line, and he is going to be out of bounds on the far sideline. Jersey Shore is working left to right here to start off this second half, and they will be on the Shemokin 36-yard line, first down and 10.
Jersey Shore really picking on that left side there. That's where they got that big run by Tanner Lorson.
No huddle. Lorson, shotgun. And he's going to be a tackle, but is able to move forward for about a pickup of 4. It's going to set up a second down and 6 coming up for Jersey Shore.
Tell you, they've really changed their offensive play calling here in the first few plays, and it's been very effective.
Spread it out. Lorson rolls right, fires, has Anderson, who is able to gather it in before Pearson makes the tackle, and thought Anderson maybe was going to have that one hit the turf, but did a good job keeping his hands on the football, and it is going to be now third down and short coming up. Jersey Shore looking at a third down and 1.
Tanner Lorson was 1 of 8 in the first half. He is 3 of 3. He's doing a good job of putting the ball on his man here in the second half.
Power eye formation. 2 tight end set. Handoff. And Shemokin, nothing doing. Ball comes out. Shemokin has it. Quarterback makes the tackle, but it was Max Madden picking it up. The power eye there as Jersey Shore just kind of went right into the heart of that Shemokin defense. And the question is now, they're going to say whether or not the play was down or it was a fumble. Shockingly, it looks like they're going to say down. It's going to be fourth and short.
A lot of confusion out there.
As you can imagine, it has just silenced the crowd in some disbelief here. They thought they had the football back, as did we.
Shamokin has got to make sure that they are paying attention. That's a tough momentum killer, but they've got to pay attention here and stop them here.
It is backed up about a half a yard or so. It's going to be fourth down and a long one, short two coming up Jersey Shore. Quarterback keeper up the middle, and I think he's got enough. Let's check on the spot. They're going to place it. This might require a measurement. Thought he might have gotten close to the 25.
Nope.
They're going to actually put it down closer to the 26.
It's going to be short from here, Don. I can see it across the field. Oh, wow. Wow, that needs to be measured.
And the official ruled first down, but now they may be calling for the measurement.
I think that's like half a football short looking across the field.
And you know what? They've already moved the chains.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to be able to measure.
This is an interesting turn of events. The official ruled first down. Shamokin's sideline not happy with the call, and it, as you know, Chris mentioned from his vantage point, looking like it might be short.
I'm standing right down here.
The chains have moved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they did not measure that. I'm standing right down here where the ball is placed across the field, and that was a good half football short.
It's one of those things that wouldn't shock me if it was a first down, but to just not. But I wouldn't know how you could make that call without having to actually take a look at it with the chains.
I don't know if they have down where the yardage marker was marked before to reset the chains. I mean, I think this is new territory.
Well, they are conferring, working on this one. You may have heard in the background the press box announcer mentioning Penn State, those Nittany Lions, off to a 7-0 lead in their Big Ten battle at Maryland here tonight.
Looks like they're going to leave it stand.
I don't know if there's a way to go back, and Coach Henry Hynoski is getting a explanation right now from the officiating crew.
Well, I can guarantee you it isn't going to set with a coach.
9:36 on the clock here in this third quarter, and it's a big fourth down. Jersey Shore is at the Shamokin 26-yard line. It's either, you know, and this fresh off another call, which negated what was a fumble, potentially, saying that the play was stopped before that fumble took place.
So, Don, I'm kind of reading lips right now, which isn't always a good thing. But the official looks to be telling Henry that it's not that they wouldn't review it. They just don't know where the sticks were before. Coach Hynoski trying to point out he knows where it is, but they're not challenging it because they don't know where the sticks were.
That's a really tough break for them.
So first down and 10 coming up for Jersey Shore. Play stands, I formation. Lorson back to throw, going for far sideline, has a step, touchdown. Just a little separation was all it took, and Jersey Shore is on the board with the first points of the second half.
And we have a flag down in the end zone. And, you know, for Shamokin, that's absolutely horrible. I mean, that would have been a huge momentum shift.
The touchdown pass to Stanton Weston. It'll be his sixth touchdown grab of the season as Lorson, well thrown ball, far side, and just a step Weston had. That's all he needed.
Yeah, it was a great ball to throw it over the 6 foot two Joe Masser, who had the pick earlier. It was decent coverage, but it was a well thrown ball, and it was a good route by Weston.
So 9:24 on the clock here in this third quarter. It is now Jersey Shore 20, Shamokin 7, as Jersey Shore able to take the ball 65 yards for the touchdown drive.
They called a personal foul face mask after the play on Shamokin.
So here's the extra point, and Cam Allison has it up and through. 9:20 to go. It's Jersey Shore 21, Shamokin 7, back with more third quarter action coming up on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and ReCore charge air coolers.
Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Sealands Grove at 374-2575.
Football Friday. Regional high school football action on WGRC.
And here the latest action from Jersey Shore. A big touchdown pass of 26 yards has the Bulldogs up over Shamokin 21-7. We mentioned at the beginning of the game that both these teams like to go through the air. Could be a bit of a shootout. It was an all-defensive, at least mostly defensive, first half. Maybe the second half a little different. We'll see. Shamokin will get their first hands on the football. We'll be back deep as the penalty yardage will scoot the kickoff from the 45-yard line of Shamokin, and the kickoff sails into the end zone, so the Shamokin Indians will have it first down and 10 from the 20-yard line.
You know, Don, if you're Shamokin, you know, you had some unfortunate breaks. You know, things didn't go the way that you want them to, but you got to find a way to put that behind you. You're only down 21-14. Still got a lot of game left, but you got to use that to your advantage. Let that anger drive you forward and just get some points back on the board.
So it is Jersey Shore 21, Shamokin 7, 9:24 to play third quarter. Handoff to Madden and nothing there. Tries the left side and not back to the line of scrimmage. That's going to be a loss of a yard. It will be second down and 11 coming up.
I know they want to go back to that run game, but you really got to start working that outside. Stretch this out a little bit.
It's so clear, and to your point, Chris, Madden, that was his 16th carry, and he is averaging less than 1 yard a carry.
Tough going on the ground here tonight against the Bulldogs, who have dug in nicely, but there have been some pass plays successful to Chicotano here tonight. Mosser a weapon there as well. Let's see what they do. Right now, Mosser split out far side. One-on-one, deep ball, and going deep. And, in fact, Mosser had his back turned. That's going to fall incomplete. Had a shot at making a play on that ball. Good coverage out there by Jersey Shore. Grimes kind of just gave his big receiver a chance to make a play. He was being guarded fairly tightly there from Brett Guthrie, the senior. Good coverage, but falls incomplete. Third down and 11 coming up.
Those are the plays that they have to hit if they want to get back in this game. It was a decent throw. I'm not sure how Mosser is trying to get into position, but they've got to find a way to get the wide receivers involved.
It'll be Mosser again to the far side. He's the only one split out. There's three in the backfield for Shamokin. Grimes back to throw. A quick slant, and it's going to be almost picked off by Guthrie. It falls incomplete. Kind of hit him in the numbers there as he went sliding into the turf, but the football hits the turf. Fourth down now. Shamokin forced a punt.
I'll tell you what, for Shamokin, just not what you want to have coming out here. Just looked like timing was off a little bit between quarterback and receiver there.
So a three and out set to give Jersey Shore the football back in good field position. You don't want to go down by three scores here in this third quarter. Both the return men for Jersey Shore are on the Shamokin side of the 50. End over end kick kind of wobbling to about the 42. Fielded there, 40, 30-yard line, 25. Has the ends, the sideline to the 10, the 5, and it is a touchdown. A 42-yard touchdown return. No penalty flags down. Jersey Shore strikes again.
You know, we said it earlier. It's that far side, that left side that they just keep exposing. I don't know what the answer is for Shamokin, but every time that they have gained a touchdown, it has always gone to that far side, and they haven't been able to find an answer.
So a touchdown for Jersey Shore. It is now 27-7, and Cam Allison come in for the extra point. The snap on target, the hold is good, the kick is up, and it is good. 8:21 to go. Back with more third quarter action coming up. It's now Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of Central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC's Football Friday.
And here on a Football Friday, week 6, it's the start of the second half of the season. It's now Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 7. 8:21 to play in the third quarter. And if you're a Penn State Nittany Lion fan or a Maryland fan, either way, the update there. Penn State, now with their second touchdown, they have a two-score lead over Maryland in the early going of the first quarter. Deep kickoff here received by Pearson. Pearson at the 15 for Shamokin to the 20-yard line. Still on his feet to the 24. And that is where the Indians will have it first down and 10.
I think a big question here. Obviously, they're down three scores. Can they get a drive going? Can they possess the ball? This second half has gone about as bad as it can go. You have officiating, potential officiating mistakes. We'll just keep it that way. That leads to a touchdown, and then three and out, punt return for a touchdown. What are they going to do here?
If you look at the fact, about 5 minutes of game time ago, this was a 7-7 ball game.
Yeah.
And now it's 28, because you take that last minute of the second quarter into factor, and it's been all Jersey Shore. 28-7, leading Shamokin. Grimes rolls right, throws for Madden off. His fingertips falls incomplete. Tries to find his running back, and it's going to be second down and 10 coming up for Shamokin.
Chris, I don't know if you can tell, but it seems like Grimes is out of sync. Are you seeing anything down at the field?
Well,
besides a lack of time that he has to throw the football?
Something I haven't been able to figure out yet. I'm wondering if Blake Kane is actually out. Shamokin actually has a guy down here on crutches that came out during the second half. And I don't know if they switched to jersey, but this does not look like the same guy in the 82 that's out there. So I'm trying to figure out who this is.
So under center, it is going to be a handoff. This is going to be Wolfgang Pearson, and Pearson gets to about the 28-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 4.
So going back to my point of why I think that's important is because, Zach, to your point, you know, anybody that's on that line is going to be critical for giving him extra time and allowing him to do what he needs to do. And just looking like their line is maybe wearing down a little bit here, affecting that timing.
When if you've got your starting tight end out, I mean, he's going to be a receiver, sure, but he's also going to block. And yeah, that's going to affect timing. It's going to affect the amount of time in the pocket.
Two receivers to the far side, back to throw, and the ball is delivered, but I think just a little short. It does go to number 82, who is listed as Blake Kane, but that is going to be at the 34-yard line. So fourth down, and you know what, this is almost identical the other way. When Jersey Shore had it, we thought fourth and inches. They ruled it a first down. Here it looks like fourth and inches coming up for Shamokin. I'm going to guess there's a measurement coming.
I guess they're going to give it to him now.
Which is what Shamokin wanted moments ago.
They don't want to get in trouble for that twice.
Right now, Coach Henry Hynoski saying, that looks like a first down to me.
The announcer did say that 82 is Blake Kane. So, okay. But he was down on the ground before, and it seemed like maybe he re-aggravated an injury that he had earlier.
Both Blake Kane and Brian Hornberger are two seniors that Coach Henry Hynoski said they're playing through injury. It's their senior season. And they've committed, and he spoke very highly of each of them making sacrifices to make sure they could give it a go this entire senior season. So both of them have been battling through injury. Well, here is the measurement, and it is one link short, I think. They may be getting out an index card. It's very possible. This is really close. They're staring at it. We don't have an official ruling yet. It's this could be a very they're going to say it's an inch shy, literally one link of the chain, maybe shy of the first down here. So we'll see if and the PA announcer making a comment about by the width of a credit card. So let's see if Coach Henry Hynoski decides to be aggressive here with ball placed on his own 34-yard line. Shamokin facing a fourth down and an inch. Not inches, fourth and 1 inch. 3:58 to go, third quarter. It's Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin trailing. They've got 7, so a 3-touchdown differential and a timeout. Official's timeout is being called here for just a moment.
Just a quick thought here. Earlier in this drive, they ran a little fullback give. to Wolfgang Pearson. I wonder if that might be something that could again catch them off guard up the middle to get this credit length to go.
And the one touchdown that Shemokin has was that 1 yard keeper by the quarterback. See if he keeps it in Grimes' hands here as well. And they are going to do that. And it looks like the second effort, he's going to have enough for the first down. Maybe about a half a yard picked up there. I think he got at least the length of the football, maybe a little more. And that is enough to move the chains here for Shemokin.
Good push there by Shemokin line. Just a quick update, going back to that injury. I was able to figure out who that was for Shemokin. Looks like number 22, Matt Shikitano, is out for the night. Suspected ankle injury, so we'll see how that affects him going forward for the weeks ahead.
Shikitano, one of the big players on the outside, and indeed he had a big catch in that first half, and important for them on coverage as well. A defensive back, so big shoes to fill.
He had three catches for 59 yards in that first half.
6:15 to play, and it looks like one of the Shemokin Indians may have flinched there. Might have been here on the left side of the line. Might have been Austin Haupt. So it's going to be a five-yard penalty here against Shemokin. So false start, has it back now to the 30-yard line. First down and 15 coming up for the Indians.
Man, it just seems like with Shemokin, they make a good play, they get momentum, and then they just do something to not just take away momentum, but to take almost three steps back from having the momentum. Just in the first half, they had good field position. They fumbled twice, and now they have a false start or a legal procedure as they get a fourth down conversion.
One receiver each side, two in the backfield. Grimes back to throw, looking for Mosser near sideline. Jump ball, and it's going to be knocked down. Good coverage by Schaefer, Anthony Schaefer, the senior cornerback, able to go up and bat that one to the turf. Second down and 15 coming up.
And, Zach, just the little things I've noticed, and you pointed this out earlier where Mosser had success. You got to come back. You got to shield your body to block that defender and not allow him to the inside. You got to come back and get that ball.
Yeah, that ball was not the most well thrown, but Mosser could have really helped out his quarterback there. You're absolutely right, Chris.
Second down and 15, 5:47 to go, third quarter. Same formation. Now they're going to put one receiver in motion, so two of them on the right side. That's where Grimes rolls, and he throws that way. It's going to fall incomplete. And there was looking for Ryder Zulkowski, and it falls incomplete. So third down and 15 coming up for Shemokin.
Just to not have the time to sit back in that pocket and throw to that outside. He's got to get that ball out quicker.
Well, the first half raced along at lightning speed, and it seems like this third quarter bringing things to a much slower pace. We're at 5:42 to go in the quarter. It's Jersey Shore 28, Shemokin 7. Third down and 15 for the Indians from their 30-yard line. This drive started at the 24. Back to throw. Caught. Madden, he gets back to the 35-yard line, 36. And it's going to be, well, short of a first down. It'll be leaving a fourth down and 9, but does pick up some positive yardage here before the punt.
Grimes took a big shot there, lower back, after he delivered that ball. Got up pretty gingerly.
I'm surprised that they didn't call a halfback screen like that sooner.
Grimes set to kick. He's on his own 24-yard line and gets off an end-over-end punt, received at the 37. To the 40, turning it upfield to about the 44-yard line, and that is where the return comes to a close, and bringing it back for Jersey Shore was Dalton Dungan, and that is where Jersey Shore will have it, first down and 10 from the 45.
Did a good job of following his blocks and just cutting upfield. I feel like we've been saying that, Shemokin, you got to go north and south. Jersey Shore is going north and south when they get the chance, and they're making them pay.
Four receivers split out, two to each side, and shotgun here for Lorson. He's got one back to his right. That's Malicki. Lorson rolls right, throws near sideline, caught, and sidestepping on that sideline, and then pushed out right about the 45-yard line. Nice pass and catch. Caden Hess, the sophomore, able to bring that in, and it looks like it might be enough for a first down. Real close, if not. And it is actually going to be enough for a first down, real close to the 44-yard line.
Missed tackles have hurt Shamokin this whole game tonight.
So Jersey Shore on the Shamokin side of the field near the 44-yard line. Lorson back to throw. Ball is going to be swatted as getting through like a freight train. Ian Paul got up there and deflected it. It'll be second down and 10.
That is the first incomplete pass that Tanner Lorson has thrown this half, and it was because a defender made a play. In the first half, I felt like some of the balls were thrown behind. They were inaccurate. Tanner Lorson has been really excellent, and that is the first time I think Shamokin has made a good defensive play here, at least in the series.
Four-receiver set. Lorson keeps it himself, kind of dancing into the middle, and he's just going to get back to the line of scrimmage. It was a designed quarterback run, and it stops at the line of scrimmage at the 45-yard line. It will be third down and long.
Shamokin not fooled by the motion there by the Jersey Shore offense. Smart play is staying home and keeping your eyes on the quarterback.
So third down and 10. Let's see what Coach Tom Gravish dials up here. Spreading it out again. Same four-receiver set. Lorson back to throw. Cross the middle and just a little high, trying to find Caden Hess, and it falls incomplete. And the punting unit coming out now for Jersey Shore.
That is the second time they've had that post route about 15 yards out, wide open. And the first one was behind. The second one, I think it just went right through his hands, but it was a bullet pass.
So 4:01 to go here in the third quarter. Still lots of time for Shamokin, but they're going to have to start getting that offense grooving once again. Low snap for the punter. Has to go down and get it and cannot get it off. And it's going to be a big break for Shamokin as they gobble up the punter, Anderson, back on the Jersey Shore 45-yard line. So a big moment for Shamokin on special teams thanks to a low snap. And the punter just not able to get it off.
It's a great break for Shamokin, but I feel like it brings up the question we've been asking all game. What are they going to do with it? Are they going to capitalize on this? They've capitalized once on the interception that Joe Masser had, but can they capitalize here, or are they going to go back in reverse?
So here come the Indians, three in the backfield. Masser is to the far side, split out. Grimes under center. Snap hits the turf, and Shamokin able to drop on it as in the backfield. Pearson able to get down and cover it up at the 47, but now second down and 12.
This center quarterback exchange, it's just not going well for Shamokin tonight. I mean, you know, Zach, like you said, you know, you get a great play there by your defense, and then what happens on first down? You know, you make a costly mental miscue, and at this point in the season, it's like Coach Hynoski said, he expects his players to be crisp, and this is just not executing.
And again, Shamokin without their starting center, also plays on the defensive line, but Andrew Nelson, one of two players suspended tonight because of actions at the end of the Lewisburg game a week ago. Fakes the handoff, Grimes is hit, loses the football, picked up, not picked up by Jersey Shore, rolls free. Who's going to get this? It might be Shamokin somehow getting the football back. Grimes took a shot, lost the football, hit from the blind side, and Jersey Shore had about three opportunities to get the football. In fact, it was laying right next to one of the Bulldogs, but somehow Shamokin able to recover it, but they're back now at their 36-yard line. It's third down and a bunch.
Zach, you called it earlier, and it was just a matter of time. I mean, it was there, and I mean, he just came from the outside and laid a lick on Grimes. It was just a matter of time before he was finally going to get to him.
Third down and 29. Not a lot of plays in the playbook for that kind of scenario. Shamokin needs to get the ball to the Jersey Shore 35-yard line. And it's going to be a timeout here by Shamokin. We'll take a timeout as well. 30-second break. We'll be back with more. Third quarter action coming up. It's Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 7 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Get fired up. The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
2:20 to go in this third quarter from Shamokin High School. Don Kastelein, Zach Guggenheim, and Chris Miller at the field. And, of course, we'll be hearing more scores from throughout the region as John Callahan produces tonight's week six matchup. As we're into the second half of the high school football season. Our score, it's Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 7. Right now the Shamokin Indians have it 3rd and 29 from their 36-yard line. Three in the backfield, Mosser to the far side, split out. Grimes hands it off. This is going to be Madden. Madden maybe gets a yard, and then he is going to be brought down at the 37-yard line. So now 4th and 28, punting unit comes out for Shamokin.
Just not understanding this play call by Shamokin. I know you want to establish the run, but that center just has not been there all night for them.
So set to punt is Grimes, standing on his own 24-yard line. Shamokin's returners are right about their own 35-yard line. Good snap here. The punt is up, and it's going to be fielded at the 35. Now to the 40, 43, and then boom, big hit. Delivered right about the 45-yard line. And big tackle that time from Ian Paul. He's now had a couple of big plays moments ago on defense, this time on special teams.
It's a nice return, but Ian Paul made sure it stopped right where it did.
So Jersey Shore set to start this drive from their 45-yard line. 1:36 to play here in the third quarter. Jersey Shore at 3-2 on the season. Shamokin coming into this one at 2-3. I formation. Power eye, two receivers now to the left. They're going to sweep left. Maliki gets maybe a yard or so to about the 46-yard line. Second down and 9 on the way for the Bulldogs.
See, Chris, you and I have been pointing this out all game long, but they went left again. Good contain this time by Shamokin, but you wonder if they're going to continue to go left on this defense.
Just trying to expose a weakness.
Two in the backfield here this time. Running quarterback Lorson to the right, and he's just going to get back to the original line of scrimmage to the 45. Good pursuit. Tackle was made by Pearson. So third down and 10 now coming up for Jersey Shore. Inside of a minute to go in this third quarter, Jersey Shore with a 3-touchdown advantage, 28-7. Looking to spoil homecoming tonight for the Shamokin Indians. Four receivers set. Back to throw. Lorson throws, and it's going to be caught right at the first down marker. Nice laying out catch there. Owen Anderson, the junior, and Jersey Shore. Coach Tom Gravish saying they've got six receivers. They feel really good about all of them, and their quarterback says it's definitely one of the strengths of this team. And there, some good hands shown by Anderson. Does lead to a first down, so a big third and long converted for Jersey Shore.
Anderson has made some really nice catches here tonight.
Going to have to run one more play, perhaps. 19 seconds on the game clock, 14 on the play clock. Rolling right, Lorson throws, caught at the 40. Down to the 35-30, and it's Anderson again, and he's going to be brought down at the 28-yard line. It is a first down, 7 seconds to go in this third quarter.
Zach, going back to that play where Jersey Shore picked up the first down, again, it was that far side. Coming back here to this play, missed tackles. First two tacklers missed. It wasn't until the third tackle that he actually brought him down.
So one last play here for the third quarter. Handoff, Maliki. Maliki goes left side, looking for the corner, and he just almost gets it inside that 25, and the clock hits zeros. We're to the end of the third quarter. It'll be second down and 5 coming up for Jersey Shore. The Bulldogs lead Shamokin 28-7 here on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453. On the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Don, Zach, and Chris in the third at Central Columbia 28 and Danville 7. Mount Carmel 28, Mifflinburg 7, Selins Grove leading Loyal Sock 20-0 in the third. Shickle let me out in front of Central Mountain 31-7 in the third, and it's Warrior Run 35 and Hughesville nothing in the third. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Here it's Jersey Shore, a 28-7 lead over Shamokin here on this high school football game of the week on WGRC. And next week, just a reminder, we'll be right back here at Shamokin. We'll have our first look at the Selins Grove Seals as they will be here to take on Shamokin. We'll have all the action for you next week. So we're heading to the fourth quarter here. Jersey Shore from the Shamokin 23. Lorson keeps it right side, looking to turn that corner. He's got a first down and out of bounds right about the 17. Make it the 16-yard line. Good pickup there for the quarterback. First and 10 coming up, Jersey Shore.
You wonder if Shamokin is just really starting to get tired. In the beginning of this game and those rollouts and those quarterback stretch plays, he was not able to get the edge, but Lorson has been able to get to the edge time and time again on those runs now.
First down and 10. Pass off Malicki's hands, and it falls incomplete. Second down and 10 now for Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I think just sheer exhaustion and the injury bug starting to catch up here with Shamokin. Just down here on the sidelines watching Grimes. He's trying to gut through it, but his back is really hammering him after that big shot he took, and he's just doing all he can to stay out there.
Shotgun right now for Lorson. Lorson rolls right, looks downfield, and the ball is tipped. Might have been, not sure who got a hand on it, if that was possibly Pearson, but it'll be third down and 10 now for Jersey Shore. Shamokin looking to come up with a stop. They have played well defensively, except for, as Coach Henry Hynoski pointed out, at the some of the big chunk plays. Just been their undoing here tonight. Penalty flag stops his third down before it really gets going. So third down and 10. Let's wait and see on that penalty flag. Officials are conferring. Just underway in this fourth quarter. It looks like it's going to be marched off here against the Bulldogs.
Going back to the point that Chris made about the injury bug, I think one of the other things that has been difficult is losing Matt Chicatano on offense. They've only had one wide receiver out there, and it's Joe Mosser, and that's it.
Third down and 15 right now for Jersey Shore, and another penalty flag comes out once again.
Tell you what, these might be gifts for Shamokin. You got to capitalize here that you just keep driving them back on penalties.
Good ball. So maybe seeing a lack of focus at the moment. Another 5-yard false start against Jersey Shore. So make it third down and 20 now from the 26-yard line. Shotgun for Lorson. Takes the snap. Looks. No penalty flags down. Going down the field. And this is going to be picked off. Mosser coming back. The 20, 25, 30. Still on his feet. 40-yard line. He's got blockers. Midfield. 40, 35. On the Jersey Shore, 30 as he cuts it back now, far side. No penalty flags. 20, 10, 5. What an electrifying touchdown return of pick six of dramatic fashion and big proportions for the big man, Joe Mosser.
What a play. You know, Joe Mosser with his second interception. He got it at the 10-yard line, followed his blockers, and then showed both his vision and his athleticism, just doing a great job of cutting back across the field around the 35, 30-yard line, and then making his way all the way to the other corner to find the end zone. Great play by Mosser, and a much-needed play.
Electrifies this crowd. The big man just willing his way to the end zone with 11:13 to go, making it a two-score game once again, and now the extra point attempt from Osaski. The snap good, the hold good, and the kick just does get over the crossbar, and it's good. 11:13 to go. Don't go away. We've got more fourth quarter action coming up. It is Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 14.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville. providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Don, Zach, and Chris, someone finally did it. That was South Williamsport. They're on the board against Southern Columbia, the first team to score against them. It's 69-6 now in the third. And Sauk on the board against Selinsgrove. Grove. It's 20-6 now in that one in the third. Now back to you.
All right, thanks, John. Well, here a big interception return of 90 yards by Joe Mosser has this game back to a two-score differential. It's Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 14. Shamokin kicking off, trying an onside kick, angling it towards the sideline a little too much towards that sideline. It does go out of bounds.
Don, I just want to go back to that. I mean, great play by Shamokin coming up with that interception for the touchdown, but it just goes to highlight that just because you're up by 21 points does not mean that you can stay unfocused. Jersey Shore costing themselves penalties and then thought they had it maybe in hand through that interception just that quick, like you said. It closes in that gap. It's a two-score game. So if you're Jersey Shore, you got to look to close this thing out. I mean, more costly cues like that, and you're just opening the door to let Shamokin right back in it.
So the penalty on the kickoff. And it looks like Jersey Shore will have it where it went out of bounds at the 49-yard line. So good field position coming up for the Bulldogs here.
Well, we're at this time, and I just want to go back to John talking about the scores and Southern Columbia finally getting scored on. Does it really count, though, if you're up 69-6?
Yes, it counts.
It counts. When you're in a ball game like that, you're going to take whatever consolation you can grab out of that. I just want to highlight something here. We had the big touchdown run from Joe Mosser. Some respect. Stanton Westland from Jersey Shore just gave him a little high five. I think he said a nice return, big guy. That was pretty cool. So mutual respect from those two guys. They've been kind of battling each other all night. This first down stopped by Shamokin. It's going to be a two-yard loss for Jersey Shore. So second down and 12 coming up.
Joined by number 23, Ian Paul. Loss of 2, 2nd and 12.
Jersey Shore, 2nd and 12. Back to throw. Quick slant, and it's caught. Able to find Caden Hess. And that's going to be enough to get about very close to a first down. It's going to be, if it's shy, it's just a few inches shy. But right now they're saying third down
and less than
maybe the length of the football needed here for the Bulldogs.
You know, and you're watching Jersey Shore. They were going up-tempo in the first half, really starting to slow this down, really grinding that clock out, chewing that up.
10:28 right now to go in this one. Jersey Shore leading Shamokin 28-14. High school football action here, week 6. Glad to bring you this homecoming game
from the Shamokin area,
from the home of purple and white, of course, the Shamokin Indians.
Be interesting to see what they call here with first and 10. Going back to what Chris was saying, they're slowing it down, but they're only up two scores now. Do they run? Do they pass? What do they choose to do here?
I formation, and it's going to be a run. This time it's going to be Malicki, and Malicki able to get inside that 35, in fact getting to the 33-yard line. That is a pickup of 4. Second down and 6 on the way for Jersey Shore.
Coach Tom Gravish alluded to it in the pregame. He said that they would live and die by the run if they can establish it. And with a little over 9 minutes left to go, it looks like he's content to just kind of grind that clock as much as he can.
Malicki did a good job of evading a couple tackles there, too. He's a nice-looking running back here.
Second down and 6 for Jersey Shore. Two receiver set. It's going to be a pitch. Malicki once again breaks the tackle, gets to the 30. Thought he was going to be brought down around the 34 or 33. He's able to elude that tackle. Is nice effort from Hunter Rodermel and company.
Rodermel.
So at the 30-yard line now, third down and 4 coming up for Jersey Shore. Lorson under center, one receiver each side. He's got two in the backfield. Lorson rolls right, looks downfield, fires, and just a little too hot on that one, a little too high, trying to find Caden Hess on the far sideline, and Hess was open. A little hitch pattern there on that far sideline, and He just overshot him.
Really interesting decision here of whether they'll go for it. It looks like they are going to go for it, but it's fourth and four. How are they going to attack?
Yeah, here it comes. It's fourth down. Roland Lorison looks, doesn't have anyone, tries to improvise, and he's going to have himself a first down. Able to power his way to about the 25. He gets that first down with a yard to spare. So heads up and happy feet there from Tanner Lorison, the senior quarterback, able to use his feet. And he picks up enough yardage for the first down, first and 10 coming up Jersey Shore.
Just a back-breaking play there for Shamokin's defense. I mean, the clock continues to grind. You give them a new, fresh set of downs. Just not what you want to have happen if you're the defense for Shamokin.
And this is back to a two-score game. So with 8.5 minutes to go, there is time. But, of course, you need the football back if you're Shamokin. One receiver each side. Pitch. Quarterback almost getting hit as he pitches it to Malicki. But Malicki has it inside the 20. And able to get down to about the 18-yard line. Aaron Frasch, the sophomore with the stop.
I feel like that play is a microcosm of this game. They almost had Lorison in the backfield. Could have caused a fumble, and instead it's a 6-yard gain.
Jersey Shore doing a great job on these cutbacks and these juke moves, and Shamokin just not able to wrap them up all game long.
Second down and 4 coming up. Jersey Shore again slowing down the tempo. Still not going with a huddle, but a little more deliberate in their actions. Rolling out, throwing off the hands of a target as he's looking for Dawson Seacrest. And Lorison had it in a place Seacrest could possibly get to it, but it's going to fall incomplete now. Third down and 4 coming up.
Going back to Chris's point there, something that Jersey Shore has done really well is setting Shamokin's defense up. So they've been going left. They've found space to the left. And now all of a sudden here in the third and the fourth quarter, cutbacks, getting back to the middle. I really appreciate you pointing that out, Chris, because I think that really highlights just the offensive play calling and how they've really set up Shamokin's defense so that they can penetrate and get good yardage.
Here comes Jersey Shore, third down and 4 from the Shamokin 18. Pitch, Malicki to the 15, and then abruptly stopped right there. Rotermel again down there where that hit was made.
Just watch Malicki's feet, man, and he can just cut on a dime, just makes those two and three cuts there and just gains an extra 4 or 5 yards at a clip.
Washuta checking back in. Coming out is going to be Kitchen. So fourth down and 1. Shamokin with another opportunity to come up with a stop.
Got to get you this stuff if you're Shamokin. Clock's dwindling down to about 7 minutes, not leaving you a lot of time.
Jersey Shore 28, Shamokin 14. We have 7:04 to go in the fourth quarter. Fourth and 1. And did Shamokin jump off sides or were they drawn? Jersey Shore clapping, thinking it's going to be against Shamokin. And it is going to be offside Shamokin. So a fourth and 1 turns into a Jersey Shore first down.
These mental errors have hurt them all game long. I feel like it's a broken record, but it's just these simple mistakes at these key costly times. It just, you cannot commit those penalties.
First and 10 coming up from the 10-yard line, and we'll just note that would be conceivable to get a first down as they're about the 10.5-yard line, so not necessarily first and goal here. First down, pitch, Malicki tries the left side, and he's going to spin to about the 8-yard line. So a gain of 2, second down coming up Jersey Shore.
Josh Malicki. I mean, if Jersey Shore scores on this play, that's pretty much going to be the end of it because Shamokin's not going to have the time to bounce back in this. So big defensive stand here for Shamokin.
2-touchdown edge for the Bulldogs, leading Shamokin 28-14. We have 6:11 to go here in this fourth quarter. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC. Under center, Lorison rolls right, looks, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown. And a touchdown grab from Caden Hess.
Number 14,
his fourth Tanner touchdown reception of the season.
Really nice throw on the run by Lorison. And just a great catch by Caden Hess. Went down to grab it, and he pretty much secures the win here for Jersey Shore.
You know, Jersey Shore really just staying away from Mosser, knowing that he can pick those balls off and just really picking on the smaller defensive back there.
K. Cam Allison with the extra point attempt. It is up, and it is through with 5:55 to go. It's now Jersey Shore 35, Shamokin 14 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons, LLC. A proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
The three-score game once again. It's Jersey Shore 35, Shamokin 14 here on the High School Football Game of the Week. So a big touchdown pass moments ago. Larson finding Caden Hess, the sophomore, in the end zone. Kickoff, end over end. Bouncing at the 18-yard line. Now picked up at the 14. And the returner, Hunter Pearson, just lost his footing right about the 21-yard line, so make it the 19, and it's going to be a first down and 10, so no big opportunity to get good field position there. Shamokin will start on their 19-yard line, first down and 10.
Shamokin at this point is just looking to play to build for next week. Got to get something established and walk out here with something positive.
Next week, Shamokin will entertain at Sealands Grove. Meanwhile, the Jersey Shore Bulldogs, they'll have their hands full with a home matchup against Southern Columbia. First down and 10 from the 19-yard line. And we have a change at quarterback. No longer is it Nate Grimes, but instead we've got Brett Nye, the freshman, in to get some snaps at quarterback.
I think that's a smart decision. Nate Grimes, and Chris mentioned this earlier, he was just getting walloped in the backfield. I think it's wise to get the freshman in, get some playing time, but also to maintain Grimes' health.
Brett Nye in at quarterback down for Shamokin area.
5:22 to go here in this fourth quarter. Jersey Shore 35, Shamokin 14.
I was just going to say, Grimes wants to be out there. He's frustrated, but sometimes you got to protect a player for themselves to live another day.
Nye hands it off, and this is going to be Max Madden once again. And just back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be third now and long. Third and 12.
This has been a tough night for Shamokin's offensive line. And I think we've said it all night long, but both the quarterback and the running back just has had no – they've had no time – really no holes. Even when they made the adjustment to go to the heavy backfield, they would get 3 and 4 yards, but that was really all they could ever get. This has been a rough night for them and a really good night for Jersey Shore's defensive line.
Third down and 12 now for the Shamokin Indians. One receiver each side, two in the backfield. Nye back to throw, looks. Screen play, and it's caught. And to about the 20-yard line, spun down there as he's able to find Wolfgang Pearson. So that... we'll have it to about the, it's going to leave a fourth down and about seven, maybe fourth and eight here for Shamokin. So punting scenario, of course, for the Indians since they have the football right now on their own 22.
Back deep for Jersey Shore, number 15, Owen Anderson, and number 23, Colton Hogan.
Earlier tonight, halftime interview featuring a guest to talk about the Bring Your Bibles school day coming up, how it connected with the NFL as well. And I do want to let you know, WGRC with a Bible drive starting on Monday. Check out the info, wgrc.com/Bible drive. Well, the punt is going to be received on the fly, grabbing at the 45 and inside the 40. Jersey Shore will have it first and 10 at the Shamokin 38. Let's take a 30-second break. Back with more fourth quarter action coming up on the WGRC High School Football Game of the Week.
Grace Chapel is pleased to be supporting WGRC. We're connecting people to Christ and one another in love is our mission. If you don't have a church home, we'd encourage you to come join us. As you get to know us, it's our prayer that you'll gain a sense of what it's like to be part of the family of God. We're located at 126 Airport Road in the village of Overlook, Shamokin. Learn more and check out our online resources on Facebook and at gracechpl.com.
High school football action on WGRC.
3:35 to go, fourth quarter. Jersey Shore with the football.
And here we have Maliki, who is wrestled down in the backfield.
Maliki,
great play by Shamokin, getting him down about three or four yards into the backfield. We are second down and about 14. Make that second down to 12 on the 39-yard line.
Jersey Shore just trying to run this ball. They want to get out of here. No injuries, no mistakes, just good play football here by Jersey Shore and move on to next week.
About 3 minutes left here. Tanner Lorson in the I formation, power I, number 23 coming into motion. They give him on the sweep, and he's at the 40. Brought down, or almost brought down, but he evades a couple tackles, but he is wrapped up right at the original line of scrimmage. Good job by Shamokin getting him down. It'll be third down and 10. Again, just trying to get that time ticking away.
Yeah, big pursuit there from the Indians, kind of able to run that down. Brock Nye among those in on the line, and the freshman able to be a part of that stop. So it's going to be a third down and long, and again, looking for those just wins on defense. And here's Shamokin trying to not let this be any worse than it is right now. It's a Jersey Shore 35-14 lead with a little over 2 minutes to go.
Jersey Shore still in the I formation, just running out the clock. They bring a wide receiver in motion, and Lorson drops back. He hands off on a draw to Maliki, and he is wrestled down near the 35-yard line. It's a gain of about 2 yards. And Don, it's obviously the end of the game, but even just in this series, what are you seeing from Shamokin just trying to finish this game on a high note?
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, you just want to win each individual play and have something to build on. Next week they're going to be back here at home taking on Sealands Grove, a team that last we heard was winning against Loyal Sock. So it'll be a need for Shamokin to try and bounce back here at home. So you just try and win each individual battle. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to see a team stop playing before that clock hits zero. So I know Coach Henry Hynoski wants to make sure you follow through, make your tackles, wrap people up, don't give up on plays. And so far they're coming up with the stops on this series.
Yeah, and they certainly have played with a lot of effort. And even on the defense, we see Grimes out there. There is a penalty flag on the play. 5 yard mark
off. They had the clock go down, so a delay of game here against Jersey Shore. We'll move the ball back to the 39-yard line, and it'll be fourth down still for Jersey Shore.
And it looks like they did it just for positioning for the punt. They're in punt formation here. Number 15, Owen Anderson back there to punt. And for Shamokin, we have number 7, Wolfgang Person, back there to receive. And he gets the snap, and they come after it, but he gets it off end over end, and it goes down, and it's going to die at the 3, make it the 2-yard line. And with 1 minute left, the Shamokin Indians will be at their own 2-yard line with the freshman quarterback coming back out there to lead the offense.
Yeah, good pressure there from Shamokin. Nearly got a hand on it, but getting that punt off, and again, could it go any worse? Shamokin, exactly what you didn't want, having that ball inside the 5, but that's where they're going to have to be here with 1 minute to go.
I tell you, it's like rubbing salt in the wound there. You know, you're already down. You're getting it that tight to the goal line. You just don't want Jersey Shore to get another touchdown. I mean, you're just playing for pride at this point.
Yeah, either a touchdown or a safety. Here they are. They're lined up under center, and the quarterback hands off, and he gets a little bit of yardage, about 2 yards there. Looks like it was Max Madden who took that out. No, Wolfgang Pearson with the carry for about 2 yards, and they're out to the 4-yard line.
Just looking for a little seam on the right side there, and as you said, just a short gainer. But again, when you're deep inside your 5, any kind of gain there is a plus for Shamokin to try and just get out of here and run this clock out. And there's 1 second differential between the game clock and the play clock. So we're just one snap away from this game being in the books.
Yep, 23 seconds, 2nd and 9. They have to run one more play before this game is over. And they snap, and they hand the ball off, and he gets about 1 more yard. And that will end the game.
So the final score is going to be Jersey Shore 35, Shamokin 14 here on the High School Football Game of the Week. Well, we're going to hear from winning coach Tom Gravish. That is the plan. And we will also have the scoreboard kind of recap and have some final thoughts here from Shamokin. Again, a big night for Jersey Shore. The Bulldogs moving to 4-2 on the season, while Shamokin drops to 2-4 overall. Back with more coming up. Week 6 of the high school football season. Game of the Week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout north central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance Office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Thanks for joining us here tonight. And in the win column, the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. A winner over Shamokin, 35-14. And earlier at the half, this was a game getting close to halftime. It was 7-7. A lot of defensive play in that first half. But then it was the touchdown run, a 71-yard touchdown run from Lorson, the quarterback for Jersey Shore. And, Zach, that was a moment that really swung things around. It came right before the close of the first half, came at the perfect time for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think to break this game down, to break it, what happened, it was situational football. Jersey Shore took advantage of their situations most of the time, and Shamokin didn't. Like, every time Shamokin got a break, it felt like they wasted it. And I didn't feel like there was – I thought Jersey Shore was a little bit more talented. But in general, I felt like they were even – I didn't think that Shamokin was that far behind them. But they just kept making mental errors, fumbles, false starts, interceptions, and then big missed tackles. That 71-yard touchdown. Lorson has great speed for a quarterback. But they did not wrap up and bring him down. And I think that's really the story of the game.
So that score was 14-7 at the half, and then Jersey Shore really taking over early in that third quarter. It was a big opening drive of the third quarter, 65 yards, and it was capped off by a touchdown pass of 26 yards. Lorson found Westland. 21-7 was the score. They added on another touchdown with a big punt return for a score. A 42-yard punt return for that touchdown made it 28-7. And just when you thought that's probably it for Shamokin, they had one last big gasp of life. It came right at the start of the fourth quarter, and it was a 90-yard touchdown run, an interception return, I should say, for a touchdown. As Mosser, that's highlight reel for the season, really, what he did on that run back of 90 yards, just willing himself into the end zone. And it made it a two-score game again at 28-14. But, again, that was as close as Shamokin would get.
Yeah, and I think that it's the story of the game. There were some really good individual performances. Joe Mosser had two interceptions, including that 90-yard interception return. I thought another guy who really stood out, he really flashed, is Ian Paul on defense. Had some really nice tackles, some big hits. And I thought Shikitano, before he went down on offense, I thought he was their big play guy. Three catches, 59 yards. But again, those individual performances couldn't overcome, I think, just team struggles throughout. The offensive line really struggling. But I think credit both to Jersey Shore, but also Shamokin has some nice players. They have some really good pieces on this team. And I think, you know, they've got a big game next week. We've got the game here, game of the week, against Selins Grove. That's going to be a big one for them. And I think, you know, they have the talent. They have the ability. They just got to capitalize on it.
Of course, they'll hope to have Matt Chicatano back. Had some big plays early on, but then went out with injury. The final score came with 5:55 to go. It was an 8-yard touchdown pass. Larson found Hess, which made it 35-14. That's the final score as we head down and hear from Jersey Shore football coach Tom Gravish.
Hey, Coach Gravish. Congratulations. Big win here tonight. What'd you like? What went well tonight?
We were a little sloppy in some areas, but when we had to make some plays, we made them. First half, I think that's Masser that makes that interception. He has two incredible plays. He's just an unbelievable player. You know, Shamokin players are tough. I think we answered the bell when we had to answer them. They had momentum on us. You know, when it was 7-7, and Tanner made a play there right before the half. We made a couple down here, you know, to run out. We got a little too fancy. That's probably on my part. Attempting to try some things out there, and, you know, Masser makes another great interception out there and takes it for a touchdown. One of the, you know, probably one of the best plays in the entire game. And then Tanner making that play right before the half as the quarterback run. But there's some incredible athletes over there. Shamokin has great players. Coach Hynoski and all his staff do a great job, the class act. And this is just a class act atmosphere here. People treat us well, from the athletic directors to, you know, Shamokin giving us gold socks to wear for a special evening tonight, childhood cancer. This is what I think football Friday nights are supposed to be like. I know that Shamokin liked it to be a little closer, but hats off to those guys. Wish them nothing but the best. Class act, classy people, and, we'll get back to the drawing board. We're going to Temple tomorrow for our annual team trip to watch Temple and Georgia Tech. So we're going to try to enjoy it on the bus ride home and have a great tailgate down here in Philadelphia tomorrow.
All right, well, safe travels. Thanks for your time. Great win tonight.
Yeah, thank you, and good luck to Shamokin Indians.
Thank you.
All right, that's complimentary. Coach Tom Gravish from Jersey Shore. Again, his 8th season here with the Bulldogs, and glad his team is in that win column at 35-14. I will just say he's got that team trip to Temple. I spent 2 years there. I automatically had the Temple theme song, the Temple Owls, going through my head, fight, fight, fight for the cherry and the white. So we'll see whether or not they come out on top or not tomorrow. But still some action to recap here tonight. We'll hear the scoreboard, and John Callahan will have that for us in just a moment. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week right here on WGRC.
If you're the father or father figure of a 7 to 17-year-old boy, the Born to be Brave Tour has the answers you're looking for. Born to be Brave is a live stage event that celebrates true biblical man stuff. Join us for a night of adventure, live worship featuring the Alan Scott Band, The Wheel of Destruction, and 1,000 ping pong balls.
Coming to Calvary Church in Bowlesburg, Friday, October 4th at 6:30 p.m.
For more info, go to BornToBeBraveTour.com.
Will you join us during the first week of October? In conjunction with Bring Your Bible to School Day on October 3rd, WGRC will be collecting donations of new or gently used Bibles from September 30th through October 4th. The collection point is WGRC Studios, 101 Armory Boulevard in Lewisburg. The office will be open for donations from 8 to 4. WGRC is partnering with Christian Library International for 1 week to equip the incarcerated with the Word of God. Christian Library International reaches out to prisons by sending Bibles to prison chaplains. They do so depending on God and the generosity of other believers to donate Bibles. Once CLI receives the Bibles, they ship them to prisons across all 50 states. At the end of the drive, we will be shipping the Bibles to Christian Library International. We recommend including at least $1 donation per Bible in order to assist WGRC and CLI with the costs of shipping. Thank you for partnering with WGRC and Christian Library International.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC's Football Friday.
Don, Zach, and Chris with you here at Shamokin High School, home of the Indians, and their homecoming tonight spoiled by the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. Jersey Shore, the winner tonight, 35-14. Well, that is one score of the night. How about we catch the rest of the scores? John Callahan producing and keeping a track of all the action tonight. And I know, John, you mentioned earlier a big state record set for one member of the Southern Columbia Tigers.
Yes, Julian Fleming setting the, I guess, touchdown receiving. He actually set that record with 62. That's just receiving. We all know that he rushes every once in a while, too, so I'm not exactly sure how many he has, but it's got to be quite a few. And he also set the yardage, the receiving yardage record. I'm not exactly sure how many he has, but he did that on this game tonight, and it was Southern Columbia beating South Williamsport 76-6, but South Williamsport having the distinction of being the first team to score on Southern Columbia this year. I'll give a score from last night. It was Montgomery 14 and Nativity BVM 3, a final from a Thursday night game. And we were talking about college a little while ago, about the trip that they're taking down to Temple tomorrow. Penn State 28, Maryland nothing. They're in the second now, late in the second. The other finals from tonight, it was Warrior Run 42 and Hughesville nothing. Canton beat Muncie 27-13. And one of the other finals, Warrior Run over Hughesville, 42-0. And games that are late in the fourth quarter now, Central Columbia 41 and Danville 7. Penns Valley leading Midwest 35-7 late in the fourth. Mount Carmel 42 and Mifflinburg 7 in the fourth quarter. Another final, Montoursville beat Milton 66-0. It was Sealands Grove 30 and Loyal Sox 6. That's still late in the fourth. And Shikellamy leading Central Mountain 44-7, also in the fourth quarter. And that's how things shake out right now, Don.
All right. Very good, John. Appreciate that. And you mentioned Sealands Grove looking like they're on their way to a win tonight. And we'll have Sealands Grove next week here at Shamokin. So our final score, Jersey Shore, digging in for a big win here tonight, 35-14. Early on, it was defense. Second half, electrified it with some offense. Final thoughts, Chris, you had the vantage point from the sideline.
You know, it's heartbreaking. When you stand out at field level, you watch the passion that these players pour out. You know, they're hurt, but they don't want to come out. They want to keep fighting. They want to keep grinding. And yet, you know, sometimes you have to protect them from themselves. But I really do feel like it was the story of the night. I mean, just the discipline, the mental miscues, it just really killed Shamokin. I mean, they were in this game in a lot of ways, but when it hurt them most, they cost themselves those penalties and those mistakes, and it's really hard to bounce back from. You know, for Jersey Shore, they got, you know, the balanced attack going. You know, Tanner really led them tonight, so they have a lot to build on for next week. The Shamokin's got to come up with some answers this week. I mean, they have a tough test here in Sealands Grove next week, and you know, it's not going to be for the weak of heart. So you got to find something. You got to build on it. You really got to instill that discipline, and we'll see how things go forward.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you look at the end of the season. A year ago, Quad A District 4 Championship won by Jersey Shore. Typically, it looks like Sealands Grove Jersey Shore tends to be the matchup, and both those teams with big performance tonight. We got a good vantage point here tonight, Zach, of Jersey Shore coming up with a big win.
Yeah, Jersey Shore, they have – you know, we said before the receivers are great. They are. I mean, it seemed like three or four different guys. Caden Hess, Owen Anderson made some dynamic plays, just getting the ball. Even if it was off target, he was able to make a number of great catches. And then Stanton Westland, their leading receiver, he only had one catch in this game, but it was for that big touchdown to extend it to 21-7 early in the second half. But the other player that really stood out to me, the quarterback obviously stood out, but their running back, Josh Malicki.
Yeah.
Chris, you mentioned just his feet.
Yeah.
And, man, if he has just a little bit of space, he can turn a one-yard gain, a two-yard gain into 6, 7, 9 yards. And he did it against a defense that I thought early in this game really played well, especially up the middle. But he did a great job later in the game taking those little spaces and getting big chunks of yards on the ground, which I think really tired this defense out.
Yeah, that misdirection, he was able to really use it to his advantage. And, you know, you don't need to be a big bruising back when you can find those holes and you know, use those cutbacks. And Shamokin really just didn't have an answer for it. So it really worked well for Malicki tonight.
So here tonight, big win for Jersey Shore. Again, a winner over Shamokin, final score of 35-14. Well, had certainly some excitement here tonight, week six. We look forward to having you back. Week seven of the high school football season, we'll return to Shamokin for their battle with the Sealands Grove Seals. Well, thanks for making Friday Night Football part of your evening. Of course, throughout the entire weekend ahead, lots of great, encouraging, contemporary Christian music coming your way right here on WGRC. For the entire crew, John Callahan producing tonight. For Chris Miller on sideline, Zach Guggenheim, my partner in the booth, I'm Don Castelline. Thanks for joining us again for another Friday Night Football Game of the Week. Winning tonight, Jersey Shore over Shamokin, 35-14. Have a great night and enjoy the weekend.
You've been listening to Regional High School Football Action on WGRC. Brought to you by the generous donations of the following grant underwriters.
Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steiniger's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley-Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders & Sons, Grace Chapel of Overlook, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor & Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins, Culp's Transmissions, Melcott Radiator, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn.
Join us again next time for our broadcast of exciting regional high school football action on WGRC.